Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Inglewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein is straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 63 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Hallmark Channel. The 9-year director of the Colorado Lottery has suddenly resigned. Mark Zamripa announced that he was planning to leave his post on Friday. He started back in 1982 as the first paid employee of the Colorado Lottery and worked his way up to director. He says his resignation isn't related to an audit at the agency or any problems there. The search for a new director will start soon. Lockheed Martin Space Systems in Colorado says it is planning to rev up hiring to get ready for a proposal. It's trying to get a contract from NASA for the next generation of the space shuttle. The company plans to add about 200 employees in case it gets the contract. However, if it doesn't get it, those people will have to start looking for new jobs again. The contract is estimated to be worth $11 billion to $13 billion over the next 6 years. It happens on the third Thursday of each November. Sponsored by the American Cancer Society, it's the Great American Smokeout, an event explained by Allison Wojak of the Colorado Health Department.
The Great American Smokeout is a day when anybody who smokes can take the day to stop smoking and support each other so that they're not doing it alone.
The Cancer Society reports that 8.8 million Americans participated in the smokeout last year, meaning they pledged to kick the habit. The state health department is trying to make sure smokers who make that pledge make it stick. It has established the Colorado Quit Line, in which smokers can receive counseling on an ongoing basis. That number is 800-639-QUIT. Wojak claims that those who use the Quit Line have a 6 times greater chance of stopping smoking. There are now more than 1,500 confirmed flu cases in Colorado so far this year, according to the state health department. Health officials recommend that everyone get a flu shot to help fight the virus and help stop the spread of the flu. Nationwide, estimates say that 36,000 people die every year from flu-related complications. Pop icon Michael Jackson is expected to surrender to authorities in Santa Barbara, California, within the next half hour in connections with allegations of child sexual abuse brought against him by a 12-year-old boy. A warrant for Jackson's arrest on multiple counts of child molestation was announced yesterday. The day before, police spent hours combing Jackson's lavish Neverland ranch with a search warrant in hand. According to Fox News, both the search and the arrest warrants are related to allegations of abuse made by the boy who claims Jackson gave him wine and sleeping pills before the alleged abuse occurred. That's what it sounded like in London's Trafalgar Square today after a giant effigy of President Bush was toppled. Tens of thousands of anti-war protesters showed up to express their displeasure in being involved in the war in Iraq. The toppling was meant to echo the tearing down of a statue of Saddam Hussein in Baghdad earlier this year when U.S. troops rolled into the Iraqi capital. The effigy was about 15 feet high and featured Bush holding what appeared to be a missile. Fists, mace, and batons were flying on the streets of Miami earlier today as sometimes violent clashes erupted between free trade protesters and riot-ready police. Police formed human barricades around the area where delegates from North, Central, and South America have convened for the Free Trade Area of the Americas Conference. Protesters claim free trade hurts workers and damages the environment by shifting jobs overseas. Supporters believe that a free trade zone in the Western Hemisphere would open new markets, increasing the demand for products and services. The death toll now stands at 27 in Istanbul, where two major explosions left the city reeling for the second time in a week. CNN Turk is reporting that a caller to a Turkish agency today said the bombings were carried out in the name of the Al-Qaeda terrorist network. The blast left more than 400 wounded. One of the explosions occurred at the British consulate and claimed the life of Britain's consul general to Turkey. The number of Americans signing up for first-time unemployment benefits fell by 15,000 last week, according to the Commerce Department. That means the nation's initial filings for jobless benefits fell to 355,000 in the week ending November 15th. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche host the New York Rangers tonight at the Pepsi Center. The Avs are coming off their overtime win on Tuesday. The Denver Nuggets dominated last night's game with the Milwaukee Bucks and won 94-86. The Nuggets welcome the Washington Wizards tomorrow night. Don't miss the original holiday television premiere, A Time to Remember, starring Doris Roberts and Dana Delaney, this Sunday at 6 p.m., only on the Hallmark Channel, where great holiday stories come to life. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Hear ye, and welcome to our royal celebration. Disney on Ice presents Princess Classics. It's the seven most enchanting stories of all time with all your favorite princesses, brave heroes, and funny friends in one amazing live show. Get Cinderella to the castle in time and dance at the Royal Ball. Dive into an undersea party with the Little Mermaid and Sebastian. Journey to the Sultan's castle and escape on a magic carpet ride with Aladdin and Princess Jasmine. Help brave Mulan fulfill her heroic destiny. And join Beauty and the Beast, Snow White, and Sleeping Beauty for a dazzling celebration of romance, fun, and adventure. Live in your hometown. Disney on Ice, Princess Classics. Get tickets today and let the happy endings begin.
Coming to the Pepsi Center, December 10th through the 14th. Get your tickets today at the box office, all Ticketmaster outlets, or call to charge by phone.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC traffic.
This traffic report is brought to you by XL Energy, and we do got a bit of a problem. It's a lane shift northbound 225 right at the 6th Avenue Bridge, this new bridge, and they've shifted everything to the left, so watch for that. Everything else really looking good. We cleared all our accidents off the way. Speeds are on the high side. Using a programmable thermostat can save you up to $75 a year. Visit the Home Energy Analyzer tool at xlenergy.com for more energy-saving tips. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Partly cloudy near record highs this afternoon around 71. The record was 72 set back in 1897. However, temperatures should be falling later today. We'll find partly cloudy skies tonight, a low of 32. Partly sunny and cooler on Friday, 55. And then a good chance of scattered snow showers on Saturday with a high only near 34. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 64 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. In the moment that Michael Jackson surrenders, we're going to bring you right to him. He is allegedly meeting in front of, there's a press conference right now, it looks like he's addressing a group of people. And what do we have there, Jordan? What is it? Is he just coming in, or he's going to be surrendering shortly. So I don't know if this is old footage or if this is new footage, but I'm seeing Michael Jackson there on the screen. And the moment that he surrenders, we will bring it to you. We're also going to be talking about later in the broadcast the placebo effect of antidepressants. Apparently, placebos work just as well as antidepressants in many cases. But with us on the line right now, the live line, is Tom Messnick, who is a student at UC Denver, and he is coming to us live from Miami, where he is among the protesters at the FTAA. Tom, tell us what's going on. I think we're having some technical problems. Tell us what's going on.
FTAA just ended, and now they're beginning their march. This is the march that actually has a permit, and so it's being allowed to go on. Earlier today, approximately 2,000 anarchists and protesters took to the street.
Why are they doing that? Explain to people what's going on in Miami.
The FTAA is free trade agreement of the Americas, and it's going to spread NAFTA all the way down to Chile.
And why are you?
Well, it's drafted by the corporations, and it's anti-environment, anti-worker, anti-union, and so it's, well, how do you say it on the radio? It's just going to make the rich richer, and the poor are going to get the shaft, as always.
So you are protesting down there with how many other students?
Or other
protesters. How many protesters are there, would you say, Tom?
Probably up to 3,000 protesters. Plus the unions are down here. They're protesting as well. And there's probably 30,000 union members from SEIU, the steel workers, probably 30 to 40 unions from being bused in from all over the country. protesting just outside the fence where these trade agreements are taking place.
All right, and the protesting is happening because the fear is that the American workers will be shafted, the jobs go overseas to markets where people are compensated
hardly
at all.
The jobs in the U.S. Are lost, the wages go down, but it's also, that's what happened in Mexico as well, and Canada. So it's bad for workers all over. It doesn't matter which country you're at. Your wages don't go up if you're in Ecuador or Venezuela or Brazil.
So they want give us an overview here, Tom. They want to expand the area here so more countries are involved and they can ship more of these jobs over to these countries.
Yeah, they open up maquiladoras is what they're called. They're basically sweatshops that become legal, and they'll be all over South America. Right now, they're just limited to Mexico. But they want to expand that free trade that was established back in 94. This is Bush's baby, and he wants free trade, not fair trade. We're fighting for what's called fair trade, which means you're still allowed to have environmental regulations, and you're allowed to have community standards and democratic oversight. All these talks are being done behind closed doors by the corporations and the heads of government.
Tom, how violent have the protests become? Because we're seeing footage here now of demonstrators, the cops. What's going on?
Yeah, well, there's probably four cops for every single protester, as far as like the ones that are going to be doing direct action. It's really a police state. Anywhere you turn, there are horses, riot police, SWAT police, and I don't know if you can hear the helicopters overhead right now. And you can hear the drums in the background from the rally and the protesters.
How long
was to try to get over the fence and get into to where the discussions were happening and to voice opposition there. But there's just far too many police for that to happen.
Have a lot of people been hauled off to jail, Tom?
Not a lot. A few of our kids have disappeared. Some of them from Colorado. We're trying to find them, but we think that some of our young boys and girls have been arrested.
And when do you expect to be back? When do you expect to be back?
Well, if they don't let our kids go, we're staying down here in solidarity with them. So we won't let you back until they release them from jail.
Well, I expect that we'll be getting more reports from you, Tom Messnick. Thanks so much for joining us. He's a student at CU Denver down in Miami protesting the FTAA. Thanks very much, Tom.
Okay,
appreciate the report. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. It was hard to hear. I think he probably had a hard time hearing us as well. But he's down there, and God bless our demonstrators and our protesters. They're down there making a lot of noise, and we're seeing footage that makes it look fairly violent if you're looking at CNN. Momentarily, Michael Jackson is expected to surrender, and we'll bring you that as soon as it occurs. Later on, we're going to be talking to a psychotherapist, psychotherapist and journalist, Gary Greenberg. He's talking about a couple of things, antidepressants versus placebos, and it turns out that placebos work just about as well as antidepressants. I don't want to depress you with that news. And also, the Boulder-based brand and string cheese and the incident and how they take on Ticketmaster. We'll be talking about all that. In the meantime, we have a lot more to discuss. We have George Bush in Europe. We have George Bush in Iraq. We have Michael Jackson going on. We have lots of things cooking. So let's go to the phones, and you can always join the conversation, 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. Well, like the Reagan miniseries, the Michael Jackson special that was supposed to air on CBS, forget it. They just pulled it. It's not going to air at all. I don't know. Maybe it'll go on to Showtime. Well, if it goes on to Showtime, I'll watch it for sure. You may want to comment about that, but they are expecting him to surrender momentarily. And the moment he surrenders, we'll bring that to you. I want to ask you a question. We talked about it yesterday, but I have more to say. If you're a guy like Michael, let's just assume for a moment the best about Michael Jackson, in case there is the best to assume about him. But if all you're doing is hanging out and playing with little boys because you yourself are a case of arrested development, and even though your chronological age is 45, but your mental age is 10, why would you open yourself up to the possibility of people suing you by hanging out with these young kids? And there's always going to be that possibility of the family suing you, particularly as they see you with a person with deep pockets. Why would you do that? 303-382-1150. It turns out that Jacko has had on retainer Mark Garagos, who defended Winona Ryder, Gary Condit, and now Scott Peterson in the Lacey Peterson murder. He's had him on retainer since March. So these are not new allegations. This is stuff that's just becoming public to the rest of us. But Michael Jackson is expected to surrender shortly, and I see footage right now of a plane landing, so it must be that it's his private plane. And I want to ask you a bunch of questions. First of all, because he's so eccentric and because this is not new news about him, it's a little bit like Arnold Schwarzenegger. If Pat Robertson or some moralistic preacher had been elected governor of California, then anybody coming out in advance of the election to allege groping and grabbing and all and sexual whatever, that preacher would not have been elected governor. But since it was Arnold Schwarzenegger and he's a movie star and we know that movie sets are rowdy and we know that he wasn't Mr. Monk, we cut him slack. We figure, well, it's a movie star, you know, a different set of standards. Michael Jackson, everybody knows that he has been as wiggy as possible for a lot of years now. He's getting wiggier and wiggier, and you can see it in more and more plastic surgeries. He hardly looks like he's human. He has a humanoid kind of demeanor, but he mostly looks like a caricature now. And he was so cute as a kid. He was just so adorable, and he was adorable even maybe 10 years ago, but now he hardly looks human, and it's almost clown-like. It's grotesque, I think. And he used to have a nose, in fact, but I don't know. It got vaporized in the wake of way too many plastic surgeries, apparently. But here you are, somebody who's this eccentric, and I'm wondering, is this a career boost for him? Don't laugh. I mean, is this going to affect his career negatively? We already know that he had a huge settlement. Now, the figure I heard Bill O'Reilly quoting earlier, it was a multi-million-dollar settlement in about 1993 with a young boy who brought charges against Michael Jackson for sexual molestation. And it was settled in the neighborhood of between $14 and $20 million, according to Bill O'Reilly. Now, it seems to me there's a case to be made for settling a case because the discovery process, everything would bring out so much negative publicity to you that it's cheaper to settle it than to deal with the negative fallout. But if you're settling in the neighborhood of between $14 to $20 million, then it seems to me that either the advice was, look, you've got a reputation and a career to maintain, and we are all making money from you, so maybe that was the situation, and settle this thing up, make it go away, and so on. It seems to me, though, that if I were not a child molester, which I am not, I would fight tooth and nail to declare my innocence. I would, wouldn't you, if you were Michael Jackson, to clear his name? Well, maybe he never would have been able to clear his name. I mean, even if he were not actually a pedophile, maybe it's impossible with these kinds of charges to ever walk away with a clean slate, even if you have a clean slate. I don't know. But to further invite lawsuits by having little boys do sleepovers at your house, he's got to be even wackier than we think he is. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. And what if you were an avaricious parent? You are in trouble financially. Michael Jackson likes your son a lot. Would you let your son sleep over there knowing that you were doing it in order to get something out of it? Whether it was a new car, financial security. Now, the way that they are spinning it, Jackson's people are spinning it, is this mother who was sort of living in a barn and was dependent on Jackson for financial security, when he cut the tie and cut the pocketbook strings, that's when she said, I'm going to the police. So that's the way he and Garagos are going to spin this story. What do you think about that? 303-382-1150. I heard reports that Jackson bought the family of this kid who's now charging him with sexual molestation, that he bought the kid a car, or bought the parents a car, or the mother a car, something like that. So the whole thing just really stinks to high heaven, and it's a nice, juicy story, and it prevents us from looking at Iraq, but we're going to be doing that anyway. So we will bring you whatever we have on Michael Jackson. The moment he surrenders, we'll bring you that live. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Top radio talk show host, definitely Enid Goldstein, says the Rocky Mountain News, AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
We co-host Style Matters Live on AM 1150 KNRC. You know that we know great shopping. That's why for this holiday season, we'll be at Aspen Grove on Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton.
You got that right. Aspen Grove is an open-air shopping center. Park right in front of great stores like Pottery Barn, Coldwater Creek, Talbot, and Chico's. It's an urban feel in the heart of suburbia with seven great restaurants. No food court food here.
Aspen Grove has stores you'd find at any mall, plus a few wonderful exclusives like the Carol Lee Adrian Vitadini shop, the new Italian department store Camille Lavi, and White House Black Market.
He will buy an outfit in white, and then I'm going to buy the same one in black.
I heard that. For the holidays, Aspen Grove has free carriage rides. Have the whole family sign up for the gift registry. Make sure everyone gets what they really want.
Aspen Grove is located on Santa Fe at Mineral and Littleton, near the light rail station. Open Mondays through Saturdays 10 to 9 and Sundays 11 to 6.
You can't top Aspen Grove, where life meets style.
It's estimated that over 30 million men in America suffer from poor sexual performance, or PSP, a common problem that affects adult men of all ages. The good news is science and nature have now come together to produce a new, all-natural, drug-free option so men never have to experience PSP, poor sexual performance, ever again. Introducing all-new Procylon, a scientific blend of herbs and nutrients uniquely formulated to help promote sexual vigor and enhance sexual performance. Quickly and in the privacy of your own home, all-natural Procylon helps improve stamina, urge, and desire. And it's guaranteed to work for you. Maximize your performance with Procylon. Call now for your risk-free trial of Procylon at 1-800-701-4022. It's easy, completely confidential, and it'll work for you, guaranteed. Call 1-800-701-4022. 1-800-701-4022. 1-800-701-4022.
AM 1150 KNRC is proud to continue a Denver broadcast tradition. The State of Colorado, produced in conjunction with the Denver Press Club and Rocky Mountain Reflections. The State of Colorado is where Greg Dobbs hosts a panel of Denver journalists discussing the major stories of the week every Friday morning from 8 to 9:30. It's the most in-depth analysis and perspective on Denver radio. The State of Colorado is brought to you in part by Denver Center Attractions and International Optique. Friday mornings at 8 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Without going into details about the case, Santa Barbara Sheriff Commander Bill Byrne explained how they got the search warrant.
We present probable cause to a judge stating that we have this allegation, we want to investigate it, and we wish for a search warrant to be issued, which gives us the authority to go onto private property and look for evidence that might support that allegation.
Jackson has issued a statement promising to cooperate with the authorities. In Santa Barbara, I'm Richard Santiago.
You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
1222.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
It's the time. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live right here on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to Michael Jackson, and they're waiting. The press corps is holding its breath, waiting for Jackson's plane to come in, and he's going to be hauled off where they're going to print him and do the mugshot. But I don't think they're going to keep him in the pokey overnight. After all, he's not Andrew Resnick. So here he is. If you are, it's now CBS announced that it is pulling the program from its schedule. This is the program that he's been in Las Vegas. This is a special that he was taping in Las Vegas, and it was to have aired during sweeps, I don't know, in the next week or two, and that's not going to happen now. So that's going on, and my question to you is, how can you explain, if I were Michael Jackson, for example, and I just settled a case, or if you were Michael Jackson, just settled a case for between $14 and $20 million, which is what is being reported. O'Reilly is saying that's the number, and that was in 1993, so 10 years ago. Would you even risk another big payout like that by having sleepovers with little boys? Well, I guess if it was irresistible to you, you would do that. And the way they're going to spin it, Garagos and company are spinning it, is that the mom was financially dependent on Michael Jackson. And that she, the minute he said to her, I'm not paying anymore, that was the end of that. So she says, I'm going to go to the police then, as soon as the money stopped coming. And that's the way they're spinning it, as a woman spurned. But if you were a parent and you were in terrible financial troubles and you knew that he was a deep pockets and he'd pay big time to have your kid be part of the sleepover, would you be tempted to let your child sleep over there and hope for the best? the kid is alleging, apparently, that Michael Jackson gave him sleeping pills and so on before sexual activity occurred. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. I have been watching with a great deal of interest the SEC not doing its job and this mutual fund trading scandal just exploding in everybody's face. And here, the reason that it even came above into the radar is a guy who's just an ordinary worker there. He had only a layman's knowledge of how mutual funds worked. He was just doing a fairly low-level job. I don't know whether he was making cold calls by phone or what he was doing exactly. But he began to notice that at Putnam Securities, what they were doing was after-hours trading that was unfair to ordinary investors. He tried to bring it to the attention of Putnam executives, some of whom were actually making lots of money on these trades that are not exactly illegal, but they certainly are unfair, and you can make a great case that they are also immoral. They didn't listen to him. And what he did is he begged them to listen and to make the case, and they didn't want to hear it. So he went to the authorities, to the feds with this, and this launched a huge investigation. And those Putnam people, some of them have had to resign. It's had huge fallout. But when you say, well, I'm just one person, what can one person really do? One person can really do a lot. So I bring that story up because I think it's really important. We're looking now at Bush, who is in London, and he gave a speech, and his delivery apparently was so flat that several obvious applause and laughter lines went completely unresponded to. Although a talk that he gave was held in one of the most ornate rooms in Whitehall, it's a banqueting section of Whitehall, under ceilings painted by the fabulous, the great legendary artist Rubens. The White House wasn't content with that. The White House instead produced its own backdrops. Remember the backdrops of the White House produced Mission Accomplished when President Bush made his Top Gun-like appearance on the aircraft carrier Abraham Lincoln with the socks stuffed down the front of his flight suit? Mission Accomplished, remember that sign? Well, the White House is in it again. It's not good enough to be in one of the most ornate and gilded banqueting halls in all of the universe under ceilings painted by the legendary artist Rubens. No, they brought their own backdrops, and which said in a stuttering fashion, United Kingdom, United Kingdom, United Kingdom, as though, I guess we're so stupid. Well, apparently my thesis is right. It must be that conservatives and the right are dumb because they got to put this backdrop that says United Kingdom 50 million times because they must not know where Bush is most of the time, and I'm wondering if Bush knows where he is most of the time. In any event, they wrote this backdrop, United Kingdom, repeated over and over and over as if to remind viewers at home that the president was on a world stage. President Bush gave a speech, but in the speech, President Bush barely touched on the rationale that he and Tony Blair cited most often in leading the United States into war with Iraq. His assertion that Saddam Hussein possessed banned weapons and was a threat and was going to share them with terrorists and presented a grave danger to the world. Didn't mention that at all. Not talking about that part of it. No substantial caches of chemical or bioweapons have been found, leaving both Tony Blair and George W. Bush vulnerable to criticism that they exaggerated the risks posed by Saddam Hussein. Instead, W. cast the war as the beginning of an effort based on values held widely on both sides of the Atlantic to root out the forces breeding terrorism within Islamic states and reshape the Middle East into a region of freedom, peace, and prosperity. Well, it's interesting because we've got a new poll here. We've got a bunch of polls. But this new poll finds splits over Iraq to be more even 55% disapprove of U.S. management of the situation. A majority of Americans, although it's a slim one, still believe that the situation in Iraq was worth going to war over, but most are unconvinced that the war has made the United States safer from terrorist attacks. This is according to a USA Today CNN Gallup poll. Can I tell you, without the polling, without the death toll, 15,000 roughly on the Iraqi side, three, 400 on our side, not to mention all the people who are wounded, whose minds will never be the same, whose bodies don't work anymore, who will be in wheelchairs for the rest of their lives, who are maybe paralyzed from the neck down. I'd said this. I said this. I begged you. I said it's not going to make the world safer to go to war against Iraq. It's not going to make it safer in the United States. In fact, you can argue very strongly that going to war against Iraq will, in fact, make us more vulnerable. It will make us more vulnerable because our resources are stretched thin. We have money for Iraq, but we don't have it to protect our own borders and to protect our own ports. It will make us more vulnerable because our first responders are over there and they are not here if anything happens here. It will make us more vulnerable because it will so offend the whole region. It's going to act like a recruiting poster and a magnet for terrorists to do the worst that they can do, and that has certainly happened. It has become a PlayStation, and it's not a joke, and it isn't a play, in Iraq. It's organized. These young Arab men who have nothing else to do except be angry at us, it's given them a whole reason for living, a whole reason for being. It's given them all a whole sense of adventure, and they can't sign on fast enough. And we're stuck there. It's the tar baby story. That's what that story is all about. And I begged you. I said, please. And I used every piece of logic in my slim little arsenal. Actually, it was not a slim arsenal. I may not be the world's, I'm not Daniel Webster in terms of debate, but I'm telling you, there was so much information and nobody wanted to hear it because it was emotional. Everybody had to go through it. Everybody had to see how bad it was. And now, here's what the polling says. Only a thin majority, and you can argue whether it's even a majority because there's a plus or minus of 3 or 4 percentage point, approve. Only a thin majority still believe that it was worth going to war in Iraq, that it was worth doing. Do you believe that it was worth? Have you changed your feelings about this? Because most Americans have. Many Americans have. At the same time, approval for the way the U.S. has handled Iraq since President Bush declared an end to major combat has dropped by half, from 80% to only 42% now. So we are not approving very highly of the way Iraq is being handled since the major combat ceased. 55% disapprove of the administration's post-combat management, which is the highest negative measurement on that question since the invasion. Women, minorities, liberals, moderates, independents, and Democrats are the least approving. Bush went in there with no plan for getting out, said one person. They've been fighting in Iraq since the biblical days, said another, and nothing changes. Going over there to try and change is not going to work. Males, whites, conservatives, and Republicans are more positive in their assessments. So let me give you this again. The people who think everything is going well in Iraq tend to be men, and they tend to be Republicans, and they tend to be conservatives. Right there, proof positive that their IQs are lower than Democrats, liberals, women, minorities, moderates, and independents, who are the least approving. Wouldn't you agree with that? 303-382-1150. And can I add to this discussion? We've been having an ongoing discussion here on Enid Live as to who's smarter. Republicans or Democrats, conservatives or liberals, progressives, whatever you want to call them. And my argument has been that it's clear to me that Democrats, that the left is smarter than the right. Well, I'm going to add to this, who is committing most of the crimes in this country? Think about this. Who commits most of the crimes? Men commit most of the crimes. They are taking up most of the jail space. They are committing most of the crimes. Most of the rapes are committed by men. Is Michael Jackson a boy or a girl, or don't we know for sure? So therefore, I am proposing that we consider imposing a tax, a T-A-X, on men because they are more costly. They've taken up more jail space than women. They're dumber than women because they tend to be Republicans, a lot of them, and they are supporting what's going on in Iraq so very clearly for two cogent reasons, because they take up more of our resources, more of the jail space, more of the crimes are committed by men, and a lot of them tend to be conservative for that reason alone. Right away tells you that they are a few IQ points short of women. I think we need to think about imposing a tax on men. What do you think? 303-382-1150. And this dovetails along with the fact that a congressional study is investigating why women earn less money than men. Women's income is lower on average than that of men. And they've made adjustments for the fact that, women drop out of the job market to have children. That they don't, you know, they, and so on and so on. But factoring all that in, women still earned, on average, 20% less than men in the year 2000, according to investigators. So not only are men dumber than women, in general, but women, as a reward for being smarter than men, are earning 20% less. 303-382-1150. Linda on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Linda.
How are you doing?
Good.
Listen, it's a real simple equation, I think. Is this world a safer place because, and do we have more or less expectation of having terrorist attacks because we went to war with Iraq, which was a preemptive, illegal, immoral war from the very beginning? And even if we seem to have this group of arrogant, white, conservative Christian males on one side, which is driving those numbers up as high as they are, even, you know, at 50%.
You know, I'm going to tell you something. If a man's IQ were as high as his testosterone, we'd all be in better shape.
Yeah. So I just think that this is the craziest thing that this country.
Yeah, but look who's approving of what's going on in Iraq. Are guys, men mostly, conservatives mostly, and Republicans. So if you're one of those three categories, which right away puts you in the negative pile, as far as I can see, in terms of brain power. But if you're a woman, you're disapproving more. If you are a moderate or a liberal or, you know,
if you have
Democratic.
You're disapproving. I mean, if you even have the sense to get out of bed in the morning and if you can look at what's going on, you know, not just in this country, but across the whole planet, if you have one iota of common sense, you know that this is insane.
I thank you for the call, Linda. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. We're waiting for Michael Jackson to surrender. Oh, he surrendered many times in the name of love, but now it's in the name of the pokey. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 12:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 64 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by AutoZone. Stepped up traffic safety enforcements by the Colorado State Patrol seem to be helping. Stats released today by the CSP show a reduction of nearly 11% of fatal and injury crashes on 12 accident-prone highways around the state. Authorities are investigating a pre-dawn fire at a Centennial apartment complex. The blaze began just before 3 this morning. The fire was confined to 2 units in the complex, although smoke did fill the rest of the complex. The flu continues to hit hard in Colorado. There are now more than 1,500 confirmed cases in the state. The flu hit the Park County RE2 school district so hard that they closed 3 of their schools today. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche take on the New York Rangers tonight at the Pepsi Center. The Avs have won 5 of their last 6 games. 3-day special at AutoZone this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday only. AutoZone has brake pads starting at just $6.99. Limit 2 sets this weekend only at AutoZone. Hurry in. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:37.
This is Wally Frew of the Frew Law Firm. If you've been injured, you should speak with a lawyer about your rights and find out whether you have a claim against the person who caused your injury. Not every accident is someone's fault, but many accidents are caused by negligence. Your claim is worth looking into. Let the Pru Law Firm help you deal with insurance companies about your medical bills, lost income, and getting a reasonable settlement for your injury. If necessary, we'll go to court with you. The Pru Law Firm handles many kinds of accidents, like car accidents, wrongful death, slips and falls, dangerous products, medical malpractice, and other types of civil litigation. An initial consultation with the Pru Law Firm is absolutely free. I'm Wally Pru, and I will speak with you personally and honestly about your case. If you're looking for a lawyer who will personally work on your case and not see you just as a potential fee, please call me, Wally Pru, at the Pru Law Firm, LLC, 303-893-8331. Again, that's the Pru Law Firm, 303-893-8331.
KNRC News Time is 12:39. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by the Air National Guard. Still accident-free, but we do have some problems on Hampton in either direction. It's going to be between Federal and Santa Fe. Watch for some road work there. Also on, westbound I-70 at Colfax, there's going to be some construction as well. Money for college plus job skills from a part-time job. You bet. Fuel your future in the Air National Guard. Check it out online at goang.com. That's goang.com. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. After near record highs this afternoon around 71, we'll look for partly cloudy skies and falling temperatures into tonight, all the way down to 32. Partly cloudy skies, maybe a few more clouds late, and then a partly sunny day on Friday with a high only near 55. And it continues to get colder for Saturday, mostly cloudy. Good chance of scattered snow showers, a high of 34. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 64 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1240. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
Just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive, I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's main index is slipping from earlier highs, but still holding positive this hour. Right now, the Dow is up 9 points, S&P 500 up 1, the NASDAQ is up 8. One analyst tells Market Watch traders are showing remarkable resilience in the face of increased terror attacks and Wall Street scandals.
We're looking obviously at what has happened overnight in Istanbul. There are concerns regarding China. There are concerns about what's going on in the mutual fund industry. But by and large, I think what investors are really keying off of is continued improvement in the underlying health of the economy.
Kevin Curran, market strategist at Ryan Beck & Company. A bigger-than-expected drop in new jobless claims last week and a bigger-than-expected rise in the index of leading economic indicators last month, helping trader sentiment today. Some new wind in the sails for those looking to refinance. Freddie Mac says the average 30-year mortgage rate has fallen back below 6% again to 5.83% this week. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Celebrity Justice has spoken with the alleged victim's father, and that father said Michael Jackson gave him a Bronco to take the 12-year-old boy from Los Angeles to Neverland back and forth.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1242 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. According to CNN, a Jackson family spokesman is going to be on Larry King tonight discussing the issues and all the controversy surrounding Michael Jackson. Reporters are staked out in an airport. My producer, Joe Anderson, says, what if Jackson is going to manage to come in at a different airport, not where everybody is staked out, which looks like a kind of rinky-dink airport, in order to avoid the cordon of media people who are standing there waiting for him? So we really don't know where he's coming in. We're told that he will be surrendering momentarily the minute he does, or if we have news about that, we'll bring it to you. Probably we're spending way too much time on this, but it's a juicy story, and you may want to comment on that as well. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. But as you heard, Jackson apparently, or was alleged to have bought a Bronco or a vehicle, an auto, for the kid's family so that they could chauffeur back and forth between their home and Neverland. And the footage we're getting is that every little rinky-dink plane that lands, the authorities are going up, and it's like, you know, it's like those old drive-in restaurants. They're going up to the window of the pilot saying, are you the one? Are you the Michael Jackson plane? So I don't know what's going to happen here, but as soon as we have something that's mildly coherent, I'll bring it to you. We're talking about Iraq, we're talking about, for the first time now, more people think that going into Iraq did not make the United States safer. And I have been begging you, I begged you from the start, I begged you before we even went into Iraq, to please consider that it won't make anything safer for us. And you could make a case that actually it makes things more dangerous for the United States. And sure enough, that is exactly what has happened. So those of you who are now questioning the war, I'd like to hear from you, 303-382-1150. And more information from the Los Angeles Times, too, and that is that while most Americans view President Bush as a strong leader and they say they like him personally, doubts about his performance and his agenda have produced an electorate divided almost in half on whether he deserves a second term. And this is according to an L.A. Times poll. The survey, coming less than 1 year before the 2004 election, well, barely 1 year, shows that Americans remain split over Bush along many of the same lines of gender, race, and cultural values that separated the country during his razor-thin victory over Democrat Al Gore in 2000. And I'm not even sure he really had a victory. When the polls asked registered voters whether Bush deserved re-election, 42% said yes, and 46% said no, a difference within the survey's margin of sampling error of plus or minus 3 percentage points. So when asked whether they were more likely to support Bush or the Democratic nominee in 2004, voters again lined up in almost equal camps, with the president trailing 38% to 42%, also within the margin of error. So it's almost a wash. But even so, he's on the downside of the wash, not on the upside of the wash. So again, when registered voters were asked whether Bush deserved re-election, 42% said yes, but a higher percent, 46%, said, no. And there is a plus or minus of 3 percentage points. So it's close. But again, Bush is falling on the low side, not the high side. And when voters were asked whether they were more likely to support Bush or the Democratic nominee in 2004, voters again lined up in almost equal camps, with the president trailing, 38% to 42%, also within the margin of error. So 42 were unlikely to support him. 38% would support him. The survey suggests two distinct tensions in public opinion could shape Bush's political fate. On one axis, voters appear to be weighing generally positive assessments of his personal characteristics. In other words, the thing I've said before, he's personally likable, affable. He doesn't seem like he's the brightest bulb, but, you know, he's got that macho thing going. He's not threatening. And Al Gore, God bless him, was condescending, or appeared to be condescending. And what I think about Al Gore was he was so personally indecisive, so insecure in his own core, that he didn't know what to project outwardly. He didn't, if he had been more confident about himself, I think with so much background that he had brought to the table, so much, probably that was the most schooled in vice president ever in history, somebody who could have stepped easily into the presidency because he was right there shadowing Clinton in a lot of major places when Clinton was president. So Al Gore was very well prepared, more prepped than probably any other vice president in American history to step in and be a good president. And he just did not connect with voters. He was more skilled, but he couldn't connect. George Bush could connect, like Bill Clinton could connect. George Bush could connect with voters better, I think. But he's not competent. You tell me what they have done, this administration has done, that has been successful other than brilliant public relations, getting you to believe the lies that they're putting out. Where have they been competent? They're not competent in the post-war Iraq strategy. They weren't competent in sending us in the first place. They weren't competent about the economy. Where have they been competent exactly? 303-382-1150. So, on one axis, the voters appear to be weighing generally positive assessments of W's personality, his likability, his leadership, his honesty. He's been wholly dishonest, but he looks like he's an honest guy, and we're so stupid, I guess we're buying into that, against a more ambivalent view of his policies and their impact on the country. The other axis, along another axis, the poll indicates that voters are balancing the first flickers of optimism about the economy versus growing anxiety over America's progress in Iraq. Together, these forces have left Bush in an unstable, though not necessarily precarious, position for 2004. His showing against a generic Democrat for 2004 is the same as that of his dad's. When the Times asked that question 11 years ago, 10 months later, Bill Clinton ousted the elder Bush from the White House. Boy, I hope. And the third person in the Kerry campaign has just resigned. So that campaign is in disarray. Anyway, I don't think I'd vote for him. I want to see Howard Dean, who's trying to project a sunnier image. Terrence, calling in a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Terrence.
Hi, Enid.
Good.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, I just want to kind of bring something to light here. On the first case with Michael Jackson where he supposedly, I guess he paid the family $14 to $20 million.
That's what's being reported. I don't know how much, but it was a multi-million dollar settlement.
But let's say that he did. Where do the parents come in with a responsibility there for that child? If they took the money and they said the child's self-worth was worth the $14 to $20 million, then they have a responsibility. And I don't quite understand how a parent would allow their children to spend time at Michael Jackson's house with the alleged child molestations that was kind of hanging over his head.
Well, I'm asking that same question, but think about it. Think about L.A. Have you ever spent any time in L.A.? The stage mothers and fathers that live in L.A., the wanting at any price to be close to celebrity that exists in L.A. And more than that, people are looking to line their own pockets. And they look at Michael Jackson not only as a celebrity, but as Mr. Deep Pockets. So they'll let their kids do sleepovers, and they'll try to pretend that they aren't noticing that other more troubling possibilities might be occurring at those sleepovers. And then Michael Jackson reassures them, oh, everything is fine, and we are playing together so nicely. We play well with others. And, oh, and by the way, here's a new Bronco for you. And can I pay some of your expenses? Have you been in some financial problems? Oh, I can make those financial problems go away. They can just disappear.
But as a parent, Nina, that's unacceptable. If you had someone that you knew that was a drunk or suspected that they were a drunk, would you put them in the car would you put your kid in that car with that?
Absolutely not, but you're talking about a responsible parent, and I'm talking about a parent who can rationalize it away in a million years. A parent who might say, you know, we're this close to homelessness, but look at Michael Jackson. He'll help us. And, you know, it'll be so much better for the family if our financial fortunes are buoyed by Michael Jackson and the cost-to-benefit ratio. They'll rationalize the cost-to-benefit ratio, and that's what I'm sure they've all done. Or we have seen, and we've seen it in much more benign forms, or maybe not so benign, the moms and dads who can't wait to neglect their children by running away wholesale, going to work, throwing them into daycare, you name it, as rationalizing it by I'm making a better life for my kids. So parents can rationalize it in a thousand ways.
Yeah, and I do understand that, but it makes me suspect that it's not about money, that it is about money when I hear that $14 to $20 million was paid off to the first family.
Well, $14 to $20 million will buy a lot of therapy, I guess, is what the parents are thinking, Terrence. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. Later in the broadcast, we're going to be looking into antidepressants. Maybe we can send a bunch to Michael Jackson. Well, you know what? Here's the story. Apparently, placebos work just as well. So maybe we'll send a crate of placebos to Michael Jackson. I don't know if he'll know the difference anyway. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Denver's best-kept secret, the only station where you can hear hosts with all points of view. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hear ye, and welcome to our royal celebration. Disney on Ice presents Princess Classics. It's the seven most enchanting stories of all time with all your favorite princesses, brave heroes, and funny friends in one amazing live show. Get Cinderella to the castle in time and dance at the royal ball. Dive into an undersea party with the Little Mermaid and Sebastian. Journey to the Sultan's castle and escape on a magic carpet ride with Aladdin and Princess Jasmine. Help brave Mulan fulfill her heroic destiny. And join Beauty and the Beast, Snow White, and Sleeping Beauty for a dazzling celebration of romance, fun, and adventure. Live in your hometown. Disney on Ice, Princess Classics. Get tickets today and let the happy endings begin.
Coming to the Pepsi Center, December 10th through the 14th. Get your tickets today at the box office, all Ticketmaster outlets, or call to charge by phone.
Here at Airborne Command Headquarters, we get hundreds of letters, some worthy of Chaucer, some not. But one thing they all agree on, they all love Airborne, the wonderful product created by a school teacher who was sick of catching colds in class. Now, what kind of kook writes in to praise a product, you ask? Hey, man, we're talking Airborne, the effervescent health formula that you drop in water and it tastes great. Airborne is a miracle cold remedy, writes Julie Wendt. Finally, a cure for the common cold. says Alec McMurdo. Do these sound like kooks to you? Of course not. So take Airborne. It's really good. Yeah.
Hi, this is Victoria Knight McDowell. I'm a second grade teacher, and I developed the dietary supplement Airborne because I was sick of catching colds in class. When you feel that first cold symptom, won't you please give Airborne a try? Thank you.
Find Airborne Natural Cold Remedy at Walgreens, Rite Aid, CVS, Longs, Brooks, Duane Reade, and Trader Joe's. Ask for Airborne, baby.
I own a chain of spas. We offer mud baths, hydrotherapy, everything to de-stress our clients. So if we run into a cash flow problem, the last thing we want is to start stressing out ourselves.
Introducing the American Express Platinum Business Credit Card. It lets small business owners pay over time. There's no annual fee, plus you enjoy all the savings, services, and tools of OPEN, the Small Business Network. Apply now. Call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Paying over time? It's very calming.
Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Hudson Gardens and Event Center will be holding a holiday concert series this December in the festively decorated and heated Garden Canopy. Enjoy the sounds of the season with the Aries Brass Quintet, Cole Cannon, Bonnie Phipps and the Elastic Band, and the Ms. Behavin Barbershop Quartet. Hudson Gardens is located at 6115 South Santa Fe Drive in Littleton. Tickets may be purchased in advance by calling 303-797-8565 or online at www.hudsongardens.org.
Let worry-free vacations take you to Puerto Vallarta. Round-trip airfare and three nights hotel is only $424 per person. Call your travel professional or visit worryfreevacations.com for more details. Restrictions apply.
The 25th annual Art Reach Festival of Trees is now open through November 30th at the Wildlife Experience Museum, located 1 mile east of I-25 and Lincoln Avenue. Bring down the family to see the festival featuring professionally decorated holiday trees and wreaths. Admission is only $6 for adults, $5 for seniors, and $3 for children 5 through 12. Free for kids under 5. For more information on Art Reach and the 25th annual Festival of Trees, go to www.artreachdenver.org.
This child allegedly told this therapist that Michael Jackson plied him with wine before sexually abusing him. The implication being, of course, that a 12-year-old boy can be strong and might be able to put up some sort of resistance, but if he's had some alcohol, he might be less resistant and more pliable.
Hi, this is Greg Dobbs. Join me every weekday morning from 6 to 10 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now, back to Enid Goldstein.
1256 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. I'm watching the plane in the hangar. The doors closed. They think it might be the Michael Jackson plane. Maybe it's a decoy. Who knows? You know, maybe this whole Michael Jackson thing is an elaborate plot by the White House to keep us from thinking very much about Iraq. So... oh, I know. I'm just kidding about that. But we'll bring you the news as soon as Michael Jackson surrenders. It is a breaking news story. We will bring you that information. Everybody's salivating. They said it would be momentarily, but momentarily in something like this could be in an hour or so. So we'll see what happens. Meanwhile, a Jackson family spokesman is scheduled to be speaking, scheduled to be a guest on Larry King Live tonight on CNN. So I'm sure there are all kinds of ways that the family is going to spin what Michael Jackson has been going through. But you have to admit that it has been, as the LA Times put it, a long, strange downfall. And this I thought was interesting in a kind of analytical piece that they are doing about Michael Jackson. Robert Hilburn, who is the music critic for the LA Times, talked about that he used to be brilliant and original, but driven by an obsession, Hilburn writes, with the ever greater sales. Jackson has lost the vitality and originality that distinguished such hits as Billie Jean and Beat It. He's tried to tailor music to what he thinks the public wants, and in doing so, his music has lost its heart. I want to talk to you about that, because I think that's the thing that everybody faces, whether you're an author, whether you are a talk show host, whether you are an actor, whether you are a screenwriter, whether you're a musician, whatever you are, there's that huge engine of the marketplace and the people surrounding you who stand to make money from whatever it is that you're doing, and the push to do what the audience will buy. And notice what a closed feedback loop that becomes, because you don't, the brilliant thing that got you successful in the first place, you're afraid to do because you want to keep giving the audience what it wants, and the audience never knows really what it wants, to tell you the truth, but you start being safe and you start doing only what will sell, and you have lost the magic and you have lost the soul of why it was you were so successful in the beginning. And certainly that looks like the decline and fall of Michael Jackson right there. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Two more hours of Enid coming up right here on AM 1150 KNRC, and we'll be bringing you Michael Jackson, if he ever arrives and surrenders, we'll bring you that live. And later in the broadcast, we're going to be looking at antidepressants and how, in fact, placebos seem to work just as well as antidepressants. Now, don't go throwing away your bottles of Prozac right now without checking with your doc, but I want you to know this, because I think a lot of healing happens not exactly in the body so much as it does in the mind, and we'll be talking about that. Also, we're going to be talking about string cheese and how they took on Ticketmaster right here on Enid Live, the Thursday edition on AM 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNIC, Inglewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 64 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Hallmark Channel. Authorities are investigating a pre-dawn fire at a Centennial apartment complex. Captain Randy Glanville of Littleton Fire and Rescue responded to a blaze just before 3 this morning at the Highline Meadows apartment complex near Broadway and Arapahoe.
Units first arrived on scene, saw light smoke and some fire in the third floor. Attack was made, and the fire was confined to basically two units.
Heavy smoke filled the rest of the complex, but Glanville said only two people were displaced, the single occupants of each of the two burned apartments. The Colorado State Patrol stepped up traffic safety enforcements appear to be a smashing success. This, according to stats released today by the CSP. Captain Jim Wolfenbarger says 12 accident-prone roadways around the state were targeted for concentrated patrolling and enforcement during the first quarter of fiscal year 03-04.
The good news here is that we've been able to affect a 10.9, nearly an 11% decrease in fatal and injury crashes on these highways.
Among the areas with an increased trooper presence were I-25 through Douglas County and between Longmont and Loveland, I-70 in western Jefferson County, and I-76 through Adams County. If you've been thinking of quitting the smoking habit, today's a good day to do it. Today is the Great American Smokeout, as we hear from Allison Wojak of the Colorado Health Department.
The Great American Smokeout is a day when anybody who smokes can take the day to stop smoking and support each other so that they're not doing it alone.
To help people quit the habit, the state has established the Colorado Quit Line. Wojak says that a smoker calling the Quit Line greatly improves his or her chances of kicking the habit.
Counselors will talk to them about what's going on, what kind of smoker are you, how much, what are your triggers, and so then how to change your behavior and avoid relapsing. So the quit line has been shown to increase a smoker's odds by 6 times.
The number of the Colorado quit line is 800-639-QUIT. Pop star Michael Jackson will soon be in custody. The King of Pop is expected to surrender to authorities in Santa Barbara County, California, within the hour after an arrest warrant was issued for him on multiple counts of child molestation. A statement released by a Jackson spokesman blasted the charges against the King of Pop as false, scurrilous, and totally unfounded. The father of the 12-year-old boy accusing Jackson of molesting him is speaking out. Jane Velez Mitchell of the Celebrity Justice Program says the father told her Jackson gave him a car to bring the child to Neverland Ranch.
Celebrity Justice has spoken with the alleged victim's father, and that father said Michael Jackson gave him a Bronco to take the 12-year-old boy from Los Angeles to Neverland back and forth.
Mitchell says by supplying a car to the parents for continual visits to his home, that implies an ongoing relationship. Legendary record producer Phil Spector has been charged today in the murder of actress Lana Clarkson in February at Spector's Los Angeles area home. Sandy Gibbons of the Los Angeles District Attorney's Office says Spector is free on bail.
The District Attorney's Office filed one count of murder today against record producer Phil Spector. Mr. Spector has remained free on a $1 million bail. The District Attorney's his office is not asking any additional bail.
Clarkson's body was found with a fatal gunshot wound in the foyer of Spector's Alhambra Mansion February 3rd. Spector will be arraigned this afternoon. Spector is a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and considered one of the most influential producers in rock music. He created the wall of sound technique and produced albums for such acts as The Beatles, The Ramones, and Ike and Tina Turner. Downtown Miami is swarming with protesters and riot-ready police as meetings of the Free Trade Area of the Americas continue. So far, authorities have been able to keep the thousands of anti-globalization demonstrators relatively under control, with only a few exceptions noted. As rescuers continue to dig through the rubble following the twin bombings in Istanbul, the death toll is rising. The latest figures coming from the Turkish city indicated there are now at least 27 dead and about 400 injured. It's widely believed that Al-Qaeda was responsible for the blasts at the British consulate and a bank. In sports, the New York Rangers come to town tonight to take on the Colorado Avalanche. The Avs are coming off their overtime win on Tuesday. The Denver Nuggets beat the Milwaukee Bucks 94-86 last night. Tomorrow, they'll take on the Washington Wizards at the Pepsi Center. Don't miss the original holiday television premiere, A Time to Remember, starring Doris Roberts and Dana Delaney, this Sunday at 6 p.m. only on the Hallmark Channel, where great holiday stories come to life. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
Hi, I'm not a personal trainer or a nutrition specialist, but with the lifelong dieting struggles I've had, I consider myself a weight loss expert. I've tried every fad diet out there, low carb, no carb, high fat, high protein. They just didn't work for me. Then my doctor told me about a different kind of program, the Colorado Way. Developed by the Center for Human Nutrition at the University of Colorado, this program has helped hundreds of people just like me. It's a personalized 12-week course led by a registered dietitian, and it meets in my own neighborhood. I learned realistic ways to add proper nutrition and physical activity into my lifestyle. Now I know how to lose the weight and keep it off. If you or someone you know is struggling with weight loss, call 303-892-0128 for a free phone consultation and start living the Colorado way.
Are you ready to lose weight? Look for our ad in the Denver Post and call 303-892-0128 or visit coloradoway.com. That's Colorado, W-E-I-G-H.com.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Sweet Tomatoes. Got a big problem southbound I-25 approaching 20th. We got a motorcyclist down in the left lane. Watch for major delays. Emergency vehicles are on scene, and they are taking up the whole left lane. So major delays back into the North Valley. We also have a bit of a construction for you. Hampton between Federal and Santa Fe. In either direction, you're going to see construction today till 3:30. Get to Sweet Tomatoes this week for a steaming bowl of new Mexican corn chili soup and a warm taffy apple muffin topped with a toffee crunch. Oh, so good, Sweet Tomatoes. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Partly cloudy near record highs this afternoon around 71. The record was 72 set back in 1897. However, temperatures should be falling later today. We'll find partly cloudy skies tonight, a low of 32. Partly sunny and cooler on Friday, 55. And then a good chance of scattered snow showers on Saturday with a high only near 34. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 64 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 135 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock later in the broadcast. We're going to be looking at the role of antidepressants versus placebos. And there's some really surprising information. And the information is that placebos do as well as antidepressants. So it brings up a whole suggestion about mind-body stuff. And if you think you're taking something that's going to heal you, it heals you. Isn't that amazing? That's why it's really important for doctors to sound so positive. And also we're going to be talking about the String Cheese incident, the Boulder Band, and how they took on Ticketmaster. And those horrible charges that you have to pay whenever you buy a ticket. We're also monitoring the Michael Jackson situation. He's preparing to surrender to police. And when he does, we'll bring it to you. It was supposed to happen momentarily, but momentarily can be quite a while. So if it happens before 3 o'clock, we will bring it to you live. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. Let me share with you something that Fox News dug up. Mark Garagos, who has been the attorney for Winona Winona Ryder and Gary Condit and the sexual Chandra Levy, you know, all that stuff. His sexual, his colorful and checkered sexual history. Mark Garagos has been hired to represent Michael Jackson. That was just recently announced. But apparently he's been on board since about March. So in Jackson's camp, they are getting ready to do battle with the accuser and his family. What is being reported is that the mother of the child involved will be held up to severe scrutiny. In fact, Jackson's side will likely argue that when he tried to break off his involvement with helping the boy and his family financially, the mother became, quote, a scorned woman, and this is from a Jackson insider. She's very screwed up, said one source. There's videotape of her acting weird, too, and Michael was very kind to her, even getting an apartment for her boyfriend. But the argument will be that when this woman, who was financially so dependent that she claimed to have lived in a barn, was told by Jackson's people that the party was over, she ran to a lawyer to see what she could get out of it. Remember, everybody in the country is granted a defense, even if you don't agree with this. A lot of the evidence Fox News is reporting in the Jackson case will come down to videotape. There is apparently a lot of videotape, some of which may show the boy and his family singing the praises of Michael Jackson, defending and explaining his odd lifestyle. If so, they will be hard-pressed to explain their own behavior now. In one interview last winter, the mother of the boy told a reporter, "Michael has pet names for all of my children and even calls him Daddy. He is the father they never had." She said all of her children were, quote, hoping to spend a lot more time with him in the future. The sudden change in Jackson's schedule throws a wrench into his promotional plans for his greatest hits, which is a new album. Michael and his entourage were 3 days away from leaving for Paris and Berlin, where enthusiastic fans would have greeted him. And then here in the U.S., the album has so far not made any of the top 10, but it did reach top 10, I think, in the U.K. And so here it is. Michael Jackson, who was ready to go on tour with his new album, not going to happen. Well, I don't see how it can happen. Maybe if he had to surrender his passport, so he can't go to Paris to promote the album like he was scheduled to do. He's going to be held on $3 million bond, or he's going to have to make bail in $3 million. So I don't know how much money he's got to come up with, $300,000, something like that. I'm sure he's not going to be in jail overnight the way Andrew Resnick was. And so here is Michael Jackson, whose new CD is among the top 10 in the UK. But CBS has announced that they're going to pull the special that he was going to be on during November. So that's not happening. That's why he was in Las Vegas. So that's what's going on with Michael Jackson. And it gives you an idea of how they might start spinning it, that the mother was very screwed up, that she was dependent on Jackson financially, that the kid was her meal ticket. And the minute that the Jackson people said to her, "Hey, lady, the party's over," that's when she ran to an attorney. So that's going to be the defense. You think it's going to fly? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. President Bush is in England. And he sort of, I don't know if you've been watching the footage of President Bush, but he went with an entourage that would have been appropriate for the kings of old. He went with 700 or 800 people in a security bubble that is so tight. It's costing a ton of money. It's costing the English a ton of money to guard him because of the security, the security considerations. And he's almost in the same kind of a bubble in England as he is in this country. He doesn't read, the newspapers here, he says. He gets a daily briefing report. We don't know what it says and what it doesn't say. And he's being so isolated that he's hardly stepping out of Buckingham Palace. And I'll share some of that with you as we continue. 303-382-1150. Let's head over to Paul calling from Denver. Hi, Paul. You're live with Enid.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Just thought that you were looking for opinions, so I thought I'd offer some.
And?
Well, let's see. We started with who's smarter, men or women. I think they're both equally idiots. We were talking about who's smarter, the Republicans or the conservatives. The Republicans or the Democrats.
The left or the right?
I think right now the right is doing a much better job getting its message out. The left can't seem to get themselves organized and seem to be splintering into all kinds of special interest groups. So I guess by that vote, I would have to say that the right is probably doing a better job and therefore probably smarter right now.
Well, the right is doing a better job. The right is doing a better job at marketing lies, but they're not competent in the I mean, can you point to any place where they've been really competent in running this country other than the marketing of their ideas?
Yeah, actually, I think they've been doing a really good job when it comes to reversing all kinds of environmental stuff, really good job about reversing all kinds of personal freedom stuff.
Okay.
I think they've been really competent with that.
Okay, there you go. All right.
And
so,
let's see, what else did we talk about? Iraq?
Yeah.
I think that was at least partially misrepresented, but I'm still glad Saddam Hussein is out of there.
Well, I think everybody is glad. Were you in favor of the war, Paul?
Yeah, I was, just to get rid of him.
And where are you now? Because now a lot of people are questioning whether it made going to war against Iraq made our country safer.
Oh, God, no. No, absolutely not. I don't think it's going to make one bit of difference one way or the other.
So is it worth the lives that are being lost on both sides, and particularly on our side?
Not anymore. I don't think the aftermath of the war was well thought out. I think at first it started out okay. I had some questions about the original military plan, which seemed to be a little bit too light, for lack of a better way of putting it. They didn't seem to have enough power on the ground right away. But I think initially the war was a good idea because, you know, I don't really care about some kind of semi-nebulous connection to terrorists, but I do think it was a good idea getting rid of Saddam Hussein. Now, unfortunately, the only thing is that unless they set up some sort of a decent democratic regime, it will all have been for nothing.
Well, so what do we do? How do we get out of there?
Well, I think that we need to make some sort of a commitment. I think we need to put troops on the ground that will be able to finish the job, and I think we need to go in there with a serious vision of what we're going to do.
Are you planning on signing up to go?
No, not at all.
Are you the right age to go?
Oh, God, no. I'm 41.
Okay.
They wouldn't let me into the Army with, I don't know, a backhoe.
Because I think the people who were most in favor of it were the people who had nothing to lose. They
you
didn't
know,
have
I
loved ones to lose, and they weren't going
to
go in.
To lose in this country, except for the troops who are going to die over there.
Well, Paul, we'll see what happens, but there's no great sentiment here for putting more troops on the ground. They want to do fewer, and especially as we're moving into an election year.
I know.
They want to turn it over. They want to turn it over to the Iraqis.
I'm not saying that it's going to, but it's almost starting to turn out like another Vietnam. You do this piecemeal, and they will win. If we go in there with the power we need right off, they can't.
I thank you for the call.
Thanks a lot.
303-382-1150. You agree with what Paul has to say. He had some interesting thoughts. All right, here's Maureen Dowd, one of my faves. And she's talking about President Bush. President Bush thought he had at least found someplace even more sequestered from the real world than the Republican fundraisers and conservative think tanks where he makes his carefully controlled public appearances. And public is in quotes. Swaddled in an $8.5 million security blanket of reinforced concrete, wire mesh, and 14,000 bobbies designed to protect him from the ungrateful citizens of our closest ally. I think we only have one ally. Mr. Bush was a blithe spirit in his rented tales with his English cousins behind the high gates of Buckingham Palace. Even sheltered in the bosom of the British royal family, however, Mr. Bush was not entirely safe. Wearing a blue sash and a tiara with enough diamonds to pay for a year of the Iraqi occupation, the Queen gave the American president a bit of a poke, a light sideswipe with her handbag, as it were. In her remarks honoring Mr. Bush at the state dinner last night, Queen Elizabeth unleashed a barrage of favorable references to the most dreaded words in the Bush-Cheney lexicon, multilateral order, transatlantic partnership, other allies, and effective international institutions. At the very core of our new international multinational lateral order, which emerged after the shared sacrifices of the last terrible world war, was a vital dynamic transatlantic partnership working with other allies to create effective international institutions, she said. This to a president who never met an international institution he didn't try to wreck and who's darting around like a fugitive in the land of the, quote, special relationship using Buckhouse, which is what they call Buckingham Palace, as a safe house. Her Majesty barely questioned the pesky colonial mess in Iraq, where U.S. occupiers were also surrounded by razor wire, concrete barricades, and armed guards, and spent more time praising the first President Bush's leadership than the second's. Everything Mr. Bush did in London, in fact, you know, I don't know if you watched her giving the toast to him yesterday. She didn't even look at him. She could barely look at him. I don't think she likes him. If you could go by body language, I don't think she likes him at all. Anyway, everything Mr. Bush did in London reinforced the idea that this was a trip made not so much to thank the British people for their friendship, but to send a message to the voters back home that he was at ease as a world leader. The White House spared Mr. Bush from having to endure a session with rowdy parliament and flew in by helicopter over the protesting rabble who think a bullying Bush administration dragged Britain into the war under false pretenses. Scotland Yard even wanted to keep the president in a mobile free bubble that would block cell phone calls in his vicinity, but the phone companies refused, calling it Bush hysteria. The White House packaged the visit for the viewers at home. How else to explain the same Bush advanced geniuses who brought us the mission accomplished banner, putting up a blue PowerPointish backdrop for the president's speech at Whitehall Palace that stuttered United Kingdom, United Kingdom, United Kingdom. The people in the United Kingdom already knew that he was in the United Kingdom, and the kingdom isn't very united at the moment. The mayor of London captured the spirit of the moment when he told NPR that the Republican National Committee should foot the bill for Mr. Bush's extraordinary security, the largest police operation ever in Great Britain. All this, he harumphed, just so George Bush can use a few clips of him and the Queen in his campaign ads for re-election next year. This was a dispiriting contrast between W shutting out the world and avoiding the British public and the black and white clips this week of JFK reaching out to the world and being adored by Berliners. There was also a dispiriting contrast between the Bush administration holding the returning coffins of U.S. soldiers and avoiding their funerals, and the moving pictures of the Italian politicians and people honoring their dead with public ceremonies and a week of mourning. The bubble in London is just an extension of the bubble the Bush's team lives in at home. It superimposes its reality on the evidence for war, the ease of the occupation, the strength of the insurgency, and the continuing threat from Saddam and Osama. Isolationism has been a foreign policy before, but for this administration, it seems to be a way of life. What do you think? George W. Bush in the bubble in London. He's hardly ever been to Europe before he became president. I mean, maybe a couple of times was he ever out of the country. Two or three, I mean this literally. Even though his father and mother were stationed in China, I think he went to visit them at that, you know, somewhere along the line. But he's hardly ever been out of the country until he became president. He is completely incurious. And here's a guy who looks so out of place in London amidst all the pomp and circumstance of a state function there. He's just the wrong guy in the wrong place at the wrong time. I just think we need a regime change in the coming year, and I'm happy to see that Howard Dean is working hard to project a sunnier persona. I don't know if it'll work or not, because he always seems like he's so angry and feisty. The good news for Howard Dean and his family is the brother who he lost, oh, in the 70s, who was visiting Vietnam kind of on the world tour. Looks like his remains may have been found. I have to hand it to Howard Dean, though. He never talks about his brother on the campaign stump. He doesn't invoke him. He quietly wears this very unfashionable black belt, as he has ever since his brother died, with holes that are too large in it. It was his brother's belt, and he has been heard to say that if his brother was still alive, and the brother is a younger brother, that his brother would have been the one running for president, and he, Howard Dean, would have been the campaign manager. Looks like the remains have been found. But he has not grandstanded about it. It happened that there was a leak, and so that's how the newspapers got it. I have to hand it to him. I give him a lot of credit. Michael Jackson is surrendering. I'm Enid Goldstein. He has surrendered. You're listening to Enid Goldstein on the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Tell your friends about Denver's best-kept secret. Talk radio where you can hear both sides throughout the day. AM 1150, KNRC.
Ed's towing? Hello?
It's so simple.
Oh, my car won't start.
Just add it to your gas tank every time you fill up.
Where? I don't know. Miller Road?
Heat gas line antifreeze. It takes just seconds.
2 hours? You've got to be kidding me.
And heat prevents gas line freeze-ups all winter long for quick, easy starts.
Look, it's freezing. Can't you get here sooner?
A good thing to remember before you get stopped cold.
Please, just hurry.
Cold engines start with heat.
Are you still paying the price for something you did in your past?
No, not that embarrassing incident at the frat house. I'm talking about all those high-interest student loans you agreed to. Well, we can help. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. Anytime, 24-7. We're College Loan Corporation. We're dedicated to helping you refinance your college loans with interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest rates in nearly 40 years. So tell those old loans to hit the road and call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Every
Everybody said, go to MedVet.
It's Thanksgiving, and MedVet is saying thanks by giving you unbelievable savings on rows and rows of new Chevrolets. MedVet discounts brand new 03 Chevy Tahoes as much as $13,500. Buy 03 Cavaliers as low as $69.69. That's right, $69.69. And MedVet has Chevy Trailblazers for as little as $22,688. Plus, get 0% financing for 72 months on select sport utilities. And if you can find a better advertised deal on new Chevys, show it to MedVet and we'll beat it. Any dealer, any current ad. MedVet will beat their advertised price. Remember, MedVet has the highest trade-in allowances, the lowest interest rates, and acres of new Chevys. From the western slope to Kansas, Wyoming to New Mexico, MedVet is the powerhouse. MedVet Chevrolet on I-70 in Wheat Ridge. Exit Kipling, exit Ward, but exit the giant MedVet Autoplex. Chevrolet, we'll be there.
Everybody said, go to MedVet.
With approved credit, must qualify for Olds Loyalty, Military, and Gas Tank Rebates. Stock number 6242 and 4389. See MedVet for details.
You're listening to the sound an angel makes. An angel visiting the Salvation Army's website at salvationarmyusa.org. It's an easy way to buy a toy for a needy child or set up your own red kettle where friends can help those in need this holiday season. Make a donation to our new online Red Kettle and Angel Giving Tree programs at salvationarmyusa.org.
I had a bad headache. I tried Advil Liquid Gels. They work faster than Tylenol.
I needed stronger medicine, and Advil Liquid Gels get that medicine to my headache faster.
I get better relief with Advil Liquid Gels.
Every day, more people are choosing Advil Liquid Gels to relieve tough headache pain. Advil has these advanced capsules with liquid medicine inside to rush relief where you need it. Proven faster, stronger, better than Tylenol.
Now, every time I get a tough headache, I choose Advil Liquid Gels.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
You know, the thing about winning awards is that you have to say award-winning this and award-winning that. And frankly, it's very tiring for a voice talent like myself.
Where's your Mai Tai, sir?
Thanks. But just in case you didn't know, you can download clips of award-winning news features and guest interviews from our award-winning website, made by an award-winning designer featuring award-winning hosts. Well, it's true. KNRCRadio.com has it all. But if somebody at the station wins a Nobel Prize, I'm out of here.
Jackson. He is currently being transported to the Santa Barbara County Main Jail to be processed and booked. That process may take approximately 1 hour.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
126 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. Michael Jackson in hand, and we just saw footage of him being transported to wherever they're going to take his fingerprints and book him and do whatever they're going to do to Michael Jackson. So he was wearing a dark suit jacket. I wonder if he walked in there with that mask on that he wears, you know, like his surgical mask. You know, if he wants to keep himself cootie free, is he ever in the wrong place now? He's in a jail environment where it's cootie central. So there he is. And if there's anything live to bring you, we'll bring it to you. But meanwhile, he enters the police department, and apparently he entered the police department in handcuffs. That's what CNN is reporting. So they've cuffed him. Now, why would they do that? Do they just cuff everybody that they arrest, even if they're a solid citizen? Arg, that's pretty bad. Ooh, that's so awful. And then did they rip off his surgical mask? And what about that oxygen thing that he puts himself into so that he can breathe pure air? We'll find out more. We'll keep you posted. But I gave you the outlines of what we think the defense is going to be. And the defense is going to be that the mother was getting financial assistance, the mother of the child that's bringing these sexual molestation charges. And they must think that they've got enough to go on, because I think that Santa Barbara prosecutor or the DA, they've been, ever since the 1993 incident, I think they've been keeping quite a close watch on Michael Jackson. And he was reported to have settled that thing with that little boy from between $14 and $20 million. $14 and $20 million. So clearly something was up there. George Bush in England in the bubble that he is living in. Howard Dean is kind of sunny side up right now. We also have this Medicare drug bill that AARP suddenly out of nowhere decided to support, which is very odd to me. because there's a lot of controversy about it. And it turns out that the Democrats are very against it. And the matter of gay marriage, you have it being lifted to a new plane. And about the only Democratic candidate for president in favor of gay marriage is somebody who has probably got no chance at all of winning, and that's Carol Moseley Brown. She's in favor of it. The New York Times calls it a victory for gay marriage. Gay marriage is lifted to a new plane, according to the Wall Street Journal. I am still asking the questions how your life has changed if gay marriage is allowed to exist. And Mike Litwin in his column today, you may not be old enough to remember this, he said, but just over 35 years ago, as late as 1967, it was illegal in 16 states for blacks and whites to marry. This is not theoretical, he said. In Loving v. Virginia, an interracial couple, the Lovings, were sentenced to 1 year suspended for the crime of being married and could avoid prison only if they left the state for 25 years. The Warren Supreme Court, struck that law down. Now it looks absurd to us, but in as late as 1967, it was illegal. It was a crime in 16 states for blacks and whites to marry each other. I want to share with you a story. This is now an assistant district attorney who was suspended. He's a Denver district attorney. His name's Michael Stafford, and he's being suspended without pay for 2 weeks for sending emails that everybody thought was inappropriate to the city's email system. How many of you get lousy jokes, bad jokes, raunchy jokes, sexist jokes, racist jokes, every kind of joke in the world from people who send you this stuff, whether it's, in my case, my listeners, or whether it's from your friends or people you know, or you're on some big email list or something. So he got a couple of some of these jokes. One of them makes fun, some of them make fun of various racial groups, a separate photo of a woman wearing nothing but a witch's hat, cape, and long stockings and holding a broomstick. Another one involves crude references to the difference in orgasms between men and women. A fourth is an animated off-color joke involving perfume, flatulence, and three women in an elevator. Don't ask me how you combine all that to make a joke. Anyway, so what he did is he got some of these. He must have thought some of them were funny. He just forwarded them on. He forwarded the emails to friends or staff or whatever. He was nailed for this, because he used the city email system inappropriately, and he is suspended for 2 weeks without pay, and it's a Denver Post 9 News investigation. Ha ha, it is November sweeps for television news. Is this any kind of a big deal? Should a guy be suspended for 2 weeks because he forwarded on dopey jokes that he got? It's just a click on the mouse. Now he's an attorney. Should he be suspended for 2 weeks without pay? He's one of two city lawyers in the city attorney's mental health division, responsible for cases in Denver probate court. He was admitted to practice of law in 1990 in Colorado. He's been in the city attorney's office for 9 years. This case is similar to one in October 2002 when Governor Owens' campaign treasurer, Bob Adams, resigned after distributing an email that ridiculed illegal immigrants. Adams at that time said he received the email at his home from an old high school classmate in North Carolina, found it humorous, and forwarded it to three people. I'm asking you, have we become too politically correct? I guess you can make the case that on City Time you shouldn't be forwarding emails that are racist and that have all, but should he be suspended for 2 weeks for that? I don't think so. 303-382-1150, and I would probably be offended by the emails. I would probably think they were racist, or I would probably think they might be sexist, or I don't know what I would think that they would be. But should he be suspended for 2 weeks, or is it just, you know, don't do this again? Should he be suspended for 2 weeks without pay is my question. I say no. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. And this business about putting a Walmart in Arvada and draining a lake to do it, forget about that. I am with the Rocky on this. Either scale down that Walmart or go someplace else. But here's what the Rocky is saying. In the eyes of the Arvada Urban Renewal Authority, a lake is a blight until it has been drained and partly paved over to make way for a new Walmart. But not to us, the Rocky writes in an editorial, and we hope the Colorado Supreme Court agrees. At issue is another instance of a public body using its powers of condemnation to seize private land, not for a public purpose like a road, but for the benefit of another private enterprise. These cases are getting increasingly common. Arvada complains that the lake, which is at West 52nd and Wadsworth, pays only 86 cents a year in property taxes, but the Walmart would pay $2.5 million or more in sales tax. Sorry, raking in more tax revenue is not historically a public purpose that justifies condemnation and draining the lake. I mean, this is absurd. How many lakes are there in Colorado? We don't have too many lakes around here, do we? Don't drain that lake to put up a Walmart. I think that's a really bad idea. 303-382-1150. And if Arvada does that, let me tell you something. It just proves that something we've known for too long, and we mention it every once in a while, but I don't know if everybody believes me the way they should, that the only thing that matters in this country is the bottom line. Drain a lake, foul the air. Oh, it creates more jobs. Oh, okay. And the corporations have made huge contributions. Oh, okay, great. Let's do that. Oh, let's drain that lake and pave it over and put a Walmart in there. All right. We'll have more sales tax. Sure, let's do that. Can't wait to do that. And then a day of very dark testimony. I don't know if you saw this, but a detective recounting, remember that little baby, Tanner Dowler, who the father is accused of killing the child, twisting. He apparently admitted to a police detective that he twisted his infant son's arms until he heard them pop. I mean, the testimony here will just make you cry for this child whose ribs were all broken, who they just used to swing around by his jaw, Joseph Dowler said he couldn't deal with the constant crying, and he didn't like changing the diapers. And said the first broken arm occurred when the father tried to pin the baby's arms behind his back to stop him from removing the pacifier. And the father wouldn't bring the baby in for medical attention. The other arm broke with a pop a week later when Dowler said he was trying to put the shirt on the baby. The father got a little frustrated. He reached and pulled his arm out. Oh, can you believe that? What a sad story. Jason on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Enid. How's it going?
Going well. Tell me quick. We got a break for news.
Okay. Arvada is calling a field south of Rocky Flats an urban blight. So they don't care about lakes. They think everything's urban blight. There's no gutters or anything, and that's urban blight. So
what about this lake that they want to drain? Private property to put up a Walmart.
It's the same thing. They want every single tax dollar they can get.
Why? What are they going to use it for?
More cops, more, you know, junkets to DC maybe.
Oh, all right. So are people going to get agitated about this and do something?
The neighbors are actually kind of irritated, and they're threatening to do whatever they can. They're signing petitions and going pretty crazy about it. So
they don't. In other words, they don't want a lake drained so that a Walmart can come in.
No.
Good.
No, not at all.
Good. I mean, there are places where Walmart belongs, but to drain a lake for it, it's not the right place. Jason, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 1:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 64 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by AutoZone. A fire at a Centennial apartment complex early this morning burned two units of the complex and sent smoke into the other units. The fire began just before 3 this morning and has displaced two residents. The Colorado State Patrol has been able to reduce by nearly 11% fatal and injury crashes on 12 of Colorado's most accident-prone highways. The CSP has been conducting stepped-up traffic safety enforcement on the highways during the first quarter of the 2003-2004 fiscal year. A recount of votes in Boulder from the November 4th election shows no change in the results. The Boulder County Clerk had ordered the recount of all 76,000 ballots following the discovery last week of a counting error. In sports, it's the Colorado Avalanche versus the New York Rangers tonight at the Pepsi Center. The Avs have won 5 of their last 6 games. Stop by Bank One and get maximum strength checking. Now, maximum strength checking comes with free online bill pay on qualifying accounts, so stop by Bank One today. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:30.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
We co-host Style Matters Live on AM 1150 KNRC. You know that we know great shopping. That's why for this holiday season, we'll be at Aspen Grove on Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton.
You got that right. Aspen Grove is an open-air shopping center. Park right in front of great stores like Pottery Barn, Coldwater Creek, Talbot's, and Chico's. It's an urban feel in the heart of suburbia with 7 great restaurants. No food court food here.
Aspen Grove has stores you'd find at any mall, plus a few wonderful exclusives. exclusives like the Carol Lee Adrian Vitadini shop, the new Italian department store Camille Lavi, and White House Black Market.
He will buy an outfit in white, and then I'm going to buy the same one in black.
I heard that. For the holidays, Aspen Grove has free carriage rides. Have the whole family sign up for the gift registry. Make sure everyone gets what they really want.
Aspen Grove is located on Santa Fe at Mineral and Littleton near the light rail station. Open Mondays through Saturdays 10 to 9 and Sundays 11 to 6.
You can't top Aspen Grove, where life meets style.
KNRC News Time is 1:38. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of Riceland Rice and King Supers. We do still are, we still have an injury accident southbound I-25 approaching 20th. Injury accident left lane really causing delays, so watch for that. Also, Colfax and Delaware off freeway, that's going to be a problem as well. Need a quick dinner idea? Preparing meals at home can be fast and easy when Riceland Rice is the main ingredient. Start out right with Riceland Rice, available at King Supers. Right store, right price. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Partly cloudy near record highs this afternoon around 71. The record was 72 set back in 1897. However, temperatures should be falling later today. We'll find partly cloudy skies tonight, a low of 32. Partly sunny and cooler on Friday, 55. And then a good chance of scattered snow showers on Saturday with a high only near 34. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 66 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:39. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Are you tired of the weight loss battle? Do you find yourself feeling desperate to lose weight and keep it off? Listen to what UltraCarb users are saying about their experiences.
I've been on UltraCarb for 2 weeks. I've lost a total of 10 pounds, and I cannot believe it.
In the first 9 days since using UltraCarb, I lost 10 pounds. It's the only thing that's worked for me, and I am so excited to get down to my goal weight. Right now, I'm losing 20 pounds a month, and within 6 weeks, I'll have reached my goal. UltraCarb is amazing, and I would recommend it to anyone who really wants to lose this weight.
Whoever said losing weight has to be difficult has not used UltraCarb. UltraCarb works by blocking carbohydrates, the source of most weight gain. If you want to lose up to 20 pounds and 2 to 3 dress or pant sizes per month, call now. UltraCarb is 100% guaranteed to work or receive a full refund. Call now to look and feel better about yourself.
Call 1-800-451-6432 and find out how you can get 1 month free with your order. That's 1-800-451-6432.
KNRC Market Watch.
The Atkins diet has helped many a waistline, and it's apparently working wonders for Smithfield Foods' bottom line. Company says new interest in low-carb dieting has helped to increase demand for beef, Smithfield posting higher earnings from the last quarter as a result, but the stock is still down 35 cents. Lower with the markets, all the indexes are in the red now. Dow Industrials down 44 points. NASDAQ is off 9 points. The S&P 500 is losing 5. Intel is thinking outside of the PC, outlining in an analyst meeting its new strategy to put computer chips into more laptops and wireless networking equipment. But Intel has not forgotten its roots. Company says it expects to ramp up the speed of its Pentium chip to 4 gigs next year. Intel stock down a dime right now. Nothing, though, when compared to DataWatch, the biggest loser at the NASDAQ, after the data transmission company posted a lower profit from the last quarter. DataWatch stock now down 29%. I'm Joe Matthew from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Closes your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1:42 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and in the next hour, we're going to be talking about antidepressants and placebos and the interesting news that placebos work as well as antidepressants. I know it's hard to believe, but we'll be talking to somebody who's done a lot of investigation and can quote all the studies on it. I'm intrigued to hear. And also, he's a journalist who has also looked into the string cheese incident business. String cheese incident, the Bolden Band taking on Ticketmaster. Wow, that's a story too. So I don't know about you, but I really resent paying those fees. The concert fees are high enough as it is, and I really resent paying additional for handling, and it can get pretty high. Those of you who go to more concerts than I do, we'll be talking about that also in the next hour. What we're talking about a lot of things. It's just a whole potpourri of conversation today. What we're trying to do, and what I'm trying to do as I'm on the air here, is to monitor Michael Jackson. That's the hot story that everybody's covering now. I think it's an actual decoy that the Bush administration has put into place so that nobody is concentrating on what's going on in England or in Iraq. But we're watching Michael Jackson, who was led into the police facility, and he's handcuffed. And he goes in, and he goes in for booking, and he's not, I don't know that he's going to be treated as a celebrity, but there's always going to be one or two guards around who want to sneak an autograph. But in any event, there are a lot of people around him, and you see him walking into this facility. He surrenders on child molestation charges. He has had Mark Garagos on retainer since last March. Mark Garagos is the attorney who has represented Winona Ryder and Gary Condit, the former congressman. And so here is Garagos, and then stuff is being leaked from the Jackson camp along the lines of the mother was being helped financially by Michael Jackson, and when his people told her the party was over, then she said she was going to run to an attorney to squeeze more money out of him. And we're hearing bits and pieces coming out, but apparently there is a lot of videotape that shows the mother being very weird and very eccentric. However, we're also hearing reports that there was a therapist involved for the child, and that the child admitted to the therapist that there was sexual molestation that occurred, alleged sexual molestation, and that although he was 12 years old, and you could imagine if he's of any size at all, he might have been able to defend himself, that Michael Jackson allegedly gave him wine and so on. So that's all we're hearing so far, but it sounds like what they're going to do is they're going to spin the story about the mom, that she was money hungry, and that she's run to a lawyer in order to enrich herself. 303-382-1150. Somebody from the Jackson family is going to be on Larry King Live tonight to address it. Are we spending too much time on this story? It's a juicy story. I mean, I'm intrigued by it. I think he's so eccentric and so weird. And I was intrigued by what the LA Times music critic said, that there was a point in his life where he really was original in terms of his music. But as the hit machine and the people surrounding him who had a lot to gain by more and more hits, as all of that took hold and flourished, what he started to do was to do music that would really... he tried to satisfy the audience. And I think that's the road... that is such a slippery slope down. There was one great wag who said the devil never comes in announcing that he's the devil. The devil comes in promising you a larger audience. And so if you've had a number of hits and you want to keep that hit machine going, you start writing for the audience. And it's that stale feedback loop that you get that you've seen with television. Television gives you what it thinks you want. And so does the book business, and so do movies. They give you what you think you want, and as a result, what's sacrificed there is real creativity, because when they do the focus groups and when they do the research, all you can tell them when they ask you, what do you want, as an audience, all you can tell them is what you have seen before. But the thing that's brand new, the thing that's so refreshing, the thing that's original, you can't describe it because you've never seen that thing before. All you can describe is the kind of movie that has been made. Not that you say, oh, well, I liked such and such a film, so they make you a ripoff of that kind of a film. That's why it's so important to allow for creativity and originality. And look at where we are as a society today. Are we an original society? No. We are mediocre is the name of the game. If you try to break out of mediocre to the higher level of erudition and imagination and brains, and forget it. You're going to be called an elitist. If you go to a good school, forget it. You're an elitist. So we now put down the person who's more educated, who's brighter. You're an elitist. We celebrate the mediocre in this society lately. Wasn't always that way. I mean, I think even 20 years ago it wasn't that way. I don't think it was that way 15 years ago, but it has become that way. And television is such an engine that drives the society that they, in all the, you know, in the ratings that they do, for example, the stuff that gets highly rated, they do more of that stuff. So there's less and less room for that which is really original. Where you saw originality, the last place I can point to it, or one of the few places, let me say, that I can point to originality in television, is The Sopranos on HBO. Fabulous. That is one fabulous show. The writing is sensational. The shooting is terrific. The acting, first class. It is so good. I'm just always pulled in whenever I encounter The Sopranos. So I can't wait for the new season to start. Originality, You can forget about it. So look at Michael Jackson's music. So here's all this pressure. You know, here's a guy who got used to living high off the hog. He supports many, many people. He is a money machine, sort of like Rush is a money machine for many people around him. So there's that great pressure. They want to continue their high income, too. The pressure on him to crank out this very, what has become very mediocre music. So instead of being more and more successful, what is he doing? He runs more and more to the plastic surgeon. And what used to be his nose is a thinly shrouded breathing apparatus that, it's just so grotesque. I mean, he's looking more and more grotesque. 303-382-1150. More is not better. Jerry from Parker. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, Enid, hold on, let me turn. You with me?
I am.
All right. Huh. So this, I just want to talk about Iraq for a second. I know it's just kind of off topic.
Go ahead.
I hear you run out of breath getting this phone off, but you harp on the WMD factor, and my theory is, are you aware of the damage his sons were doing? The one Uday with the raping.
Well, all right, so tell me what your larger point is. Nobody ever is going to award a gold medal to those two guys for fine and stellar behavior.
No, but I think more good's come out of it than bad is basically what I think. And I think Bush should come right out and say, I made a mistake.
Wait, what more good than come out of it than bad? Going to war against Iraq? Did you lose Jerry for putting two rapists off the streets? Did you lose anybody in that war? We've 15,000 Iraqis have died.
Yes.
400 or so Americans have been killed in the military, and countless thousands of others have been maimed for life. And you're telling me that that was a good equation? That was a good cost to benefit ratio?
Well, I am, because I got an A in ethics, and I'm looking at it ethically, and I'm looking at it down the line. How many children are going?
You must
to
have gotten an A in ethics in a correspondence school, because I don't think you get this ethically. And if you think it's such a just war, why don't you march off and go do some duty over there?
Bring it on. But here's the thing. Why don't you let me talk for a second?
Go.
Uday, this regime stays in power. We're looking at 50 years down the line. Can you give me a rough estimate of how many more people are killed and raped in that amount of time?
You know, we stood by. We stood by. This, you know what, Jerry? We stood by and we supported and didn't even want, and Donald Rumsfeld was the chief non-voter, if any human rights violation where the UN was trying to impose sanctions on Iraq when he gassed all of his people. We supported him. We stood by and blocked any kind of human rights violations against Saddam Hussein. We are very complicit there. So if you think that it's a just war to go in there to kill the two sons, I don't know what you're smoking. I don't know how you can justify it. You've got to really twist your whole mentality in case it exists into knots in order to say, well, down the line in 50 years, he could have raped all these people. I mean, that's the most preposterous argument I've ever heard.
Today, just in 2 years, I bet he kills more than 15,000 people on a good session.
Oh, we're being killed right now, and we've made our country weaker, and we have increased terrorism, and we are more vulnerable, and all of it was worth it, and people are dying and coming home as quadriplegics, and that's okay with you, because these two bad guys might be raping a few people down the line.
Raping a few people, definitely.
Right? Why don't we go after Osama bin Laden if we really want to go after terrorism? Why don't we do that, Jerry?
Now he can't do it.
What?
Can't you give a little credit for that?
What? Why aren't we going after Osama bin Laden?
We're trying.
We're trying.
Slippery dude in some slippery countries, and that's what we need to do is get some freaking order over there.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. You agree with Jerry? This is a just war. That the reason that we had to go to war was to get Uday and Kusei off the streets because, you know, down the line in 50 years, they could have raped a lot of people. Okay, I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of, you know, by that logic, actually, Michael Jackson makes more sense. 303-382-1150. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
How Denver and Colorado spell great talk radio. KNRC.
This week on Colorado State of Mind, the Emmy-winning series debates drug use as Rush Limbaugh returns to the airwaves. Plus, Make My Day, Good Law or Recipe for Violence. Conservative talk radio host Rush Limbaugh addresses ditto heads again after a stint in rehab. The same man who once proclaimed that all drug users ought to be convicted and sent up is being investigated for illegally obtaining drugs through a former housekeeper. Limbaugh's drug of choice? Oxycontin, a drug similar to heroin in its effects. Should people who illegally use prescription drugs be treated differently than users of street drugs? Join host Greg Dobbs and a panel of Coloradans to debate this issue. And a man shot and killed his neighbor after a dispute over a dog. He won't be charged with any crime thanks to a Colorado law that allows deadly force in your home. What do you think about the Make My Day law? Tune in Friday night at 8:30 for Colorado State of Mind on Rocky Mountain PBS Channel 6. Join the discussion online anytime at rmpbs.org. Colorado State of Mind, every Friday at 8:30 p.m. only on Rocky Mountain PBS.
The following conversation is real. It took place on April 1st, 2003, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber.
OnStar Center, this is Jeff.
I would like to activate my phone.
Right now, it looks like it has been activated. And are you familiar how to make a call?
No.
All right, let me explain it to you. Whenever you get ready to place a call, there's a white dot button.
Right, it's got a green light flashing right now.
Yeah, right beside it. Whenever you get ready to place a call, you'll press that button, and the system's going to say OnStar ready. You're going to say the word dial.
OnStar Personal Calling is a hands-free, voice-activated cellular phone built into OnStar-equipped vehicles. So if your cell phone is forgotten, out of range, or has a low battery, you'll have the backup you need to make and receive important calls from the road just in case. Many Chevrolet cars and trucks are among the 51 GM models available with OnStar. OnStar Personal Calling is available in most markets. To learn more, visit your Chevy dealer or Chevy.com.
I think that's it for now till I see how I like it. My brother's got it. He said, don't you dare buy a vehicle without it.
Good to hear.
Thank you so much.
OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
Times are tight, and if you're retired, the cost of living adjustment doesn't seem to keep up. That's why AARP is sponsoring a program with the National Council on Aging to ensure that you aren't missing out on valuable benefits. If you're an older American living on a fixed income and you're having trouble paying your bills, here's good news. You may be eligible for savings on groceries, health care, and even energy bills. Call AARP and the National Council on Aging for your free and confidential benefit checkup. Call 303-318-6764 for more information.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Colorado History Museum is seeking volunteers to act as docents for two upcoming exhibits, Home of the Free Photojournalism and Vance Kirkland, A Colorado Painter's Life. Join them on Friday, November 21st at 10 a.m. at the Colorado History Museum, located at 1300 Broadway. Learn how to conduct guided tours and answer questions about the works on display. Make history as a volunteer at the Colorado History Museum by calling 303-866-3961.
Just in time for Thanksgiving, shop Albertson's Buy One, Get One Free Sale with Dreyer's Ice Cream, 10-inch bakery pumpkin pies, Albertson's Butter, Tropicana Orange Juice, and more. Albertson's, helping make your life easier.
Kick off the holidays by attending the Art Reach Festival of Trees, November 15th through 30th at the Wildlife Experience. Presented by RE/MAX International, 2003 marks the 25th year of this landmark Denver holiday event, featuring gorgeous trees, wreaths, and decorations. Admission is only $6 for adults, $5 for seniors, and $3 for kids. And all proceeds benefit ArtReach, a Colorado nonprofit changing lives through the arts. For information on the 2003 Festival of Trees, go to artreachdenver.org.
Hi, I'm Doug Kellett. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
156, let's go to Mark Aragos. He's giving a statement right now to the press. He's Michael Jackson's lawyer.
That he has already, for your information at least, he's already posted the bond and he's processed out. Thank you very much.
Jeff Toobin, we just heard from Mark Garagos, who is the attorney for Michael Jackson. What did that tell us? He said he posted bond. He said the charges are categorically untrue. He called it and he said he considers it a big... Okay, I'm Enid Goldstein, 157. You were listening to Mark Garagos, the attorney. He's posted bond. So he's already bonded out, so he's not going to be spending the night in the pokies. And the he that we're talking about here is Michael Jackson. It was just a brief statement to the press that Mark Garagos gave. No questions. He just spoke and then turned right around and walked out. Didn't take any kinds of questions at all. So apparently he has been on staff working on this thing, or been retained. I shouldn't say on staff, but he's been retained by Michael Jackson. It's been reported since last March. So obviously this has been in the works for a while. It doesn't come as a surprise to Michael Jackson. It does come as a surprise to the rest of us in that it was finally made public. These are the charges are a big lie, is what Mark Garagos said. But then don't forget, he is defending Lacey Peterson's husband, Scott Peterson. And remember, there were all these allegations of a conspiracy of some kind of cult worshippers or something or other that may have spirited Lacey Peterson off to San Francisco Bay and murdered her. So Mark Garagos is creative, and he gets retained because look at the case of Winona Ryder, who was not only caught shoplifting, but I think she was caught with OxyContin. Oh, my God, that's the point. In the next hour, we're going to be talking about how antidepressants, placebos work as well as antidepressants. Should we tell that to Rush? Should we tell that he didn't have to go get OxyContin? He could have just taken those placebos and no laws would have been broken, sugar pills? You know, just a weight problem. Anyway, Mark Garagos, who has been effective for Gary Condit, he's been effective for Winona Ryder. I guess the Peterson family hopes that he'll be effective for Scott Peterson. And now he's been retained by Michael Jackson. He has spoken to the assembled press, would not take questions, says it's all a bunch of lies, and I guess more will unfold as the story moves forward. We'll bring you all the details. In the next hour, we're going to be looking at antidepressants and placebos, and it looks like placebos work just as well. And we're going to be looking at what happens when a Boulder band takes on Ticketmaster. All of that coming up, one more hour of Enid, right here on AM 1150 KNRC. You can always join the conversation at 303-382-1150. This is the Thursday edition of Enid Live.
Both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 66 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Hallmark Channel. Firefighters in Centennial were on the job early this morning, battling a fire at an apartment complex. Captain Randy Glanville of Littleton Fire and Rescue said two apartments were engulfed in flame.
That's an interior of one unit. The fire traveled to the exterior and kind of caught the unit next to it. The exterior of the unit next to it on fire as well, too.
The single residents of both apartments have been displaced by the fire. The fire began just before 3 this morning and sent smoke into the other apartments in the complex. During the first quarter of the 2003-2004 fiscal year, the Colorado State Patrol has been stepping up traffic safety enforcements on 12 of the state's highways. Stats released today by the CSP show that the extra work has helped reduce accidents. CSP Captain James Wolfenbarger explains how troopers were able to reduce by nearly 11% fatal and injury crashes in the 12 targeted areas in the first quarter of this fiscal year compared to the same period last year.
Through the use of high visibility saturated patrols, and what that means is this is an area where you, as you pass through it, you're going to see a large number, a contingent of troopers working in traffic and really focusing on those types of violations that are most frequently causing these serious crashes.
Among the areas with an increased trooper presence were I-25 through Douglas County and between Longmont and Loveland, and then also I-70 in western Jefferson County and I-76 through Adams County. Another Fort Carson soldier killed in Iraq on Monday has been identified. Staff Sergeant Dale A. Panchot of North Home, Minnesota was killed. Two other Fort Carson soldiers were injured when they were fired on by the automatic weapons and rocket-propelled grenades. The attack occurred about 45 miles north of Baghdad. Following yesterday's announcement that an arrest warrant was issued for singer Michael Jackson, the entertainer has finally turned himself into authorities. Richard Santiago has this update from Santa Barbara.
Jackson is now under the custody of the Santa Barbara Sheriff's Department. He'll be booked here at the Central Jail facility, at which point he'll have to surrender his passport. Sheriff Jim Anderson says they expect the so-called King of Pop to post a $3 million bail. In Santa Barbara, I'm Richard Santiago.
Just minutes ago, Jackson's lawyer Mark Garrigo says the singer has already been processed and has bonded out. Legendary music producer Phil Spector has been charged with murder in the death of an actress at his mansion in Los Angeles. Spector was arrested in February on suspicion of murdering Lana Clarkson, but was released on bail. The Rock and Roll Hall of Famer claimed the woman committed suicide, but her death was later ruled a homicide. President Bush and British Prime Minister Tony Blair say they remain committed to the global war on terrorism. They say the twin bombings in Turkey today demonstrate why it is so important to keep up that fight. Earlier today, London's Trafalgar Square was overrun by tens of thousands of anti-war protesters. A giant effigy of President Bush, complete with what appeared to be a missile, was erected and then toppled in the square. It was meant to be reminiscent of how a statue of Saddam Hussein was toppled when U.S. forces took over Baghdad earlier this year. Meantime, Al-Qaeda is widely believed to be behind today's twin bombings in Istanbul, Turkey. The latest casualty reports indicate at least 27 people died and more than 400 were hurt from the blast that ripped through the British consulate and the HSBC Bank. Britain's consul general to Turkey is among the dead. The middle school student shot in the sniper shooting spree in October 2002 took the stand today in the capital murder trial of Lee Boyd Malvo. Kathy Culpepper reports from Chesapeake, Virginia.
Iron Brown told jurors how he was hit after being dropped off at his Bowie, Maryland school by his aunt. Brown testified that he thought he was going to die. Crimes and investigators, meanwhile, testified about how they found a tarot card and a spent shell casing in some woods next to the school. Brown was the third survivor to testify at Malvo's trial. Jeffrey Hopper and Carolyn Sewell took the stand yesterday to describe their ordeals. The prosecution may rest by today. Kathy Culpepper, Chesapeake.
Meanwhile, a panel of 12 jurors could begin deliberating behind closed doors today whether convicted D.C. area sniper John Allen Muhammad should live or die. The same jurors returned a guilty verdict against the 42-year-old Gulf War veteran earlier this week. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche meet the New York Rangers tonight at the Pepsi Center. The Avs have won 5 of their last 6 games and are coming off an overtime win against the Mighty Ducks on Tuesday. The Denver Nuggets topped the Milwaukee Bucks 94-86 last night. Nuggets are back in action tomorrow night at the Pepsi Center against the Washington Wizards. Don't miss the original holiday television premiere, A Time to Remember, starring Doris Roberts and Dana Delaney this Sunday at 6 p.m. only on the Hallmark Channel, where great holiday stories come to life. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
Ed's towing? Hello?
It's so simple.
Oh, my car won't start.
Just add it to your gas tank every time you fill up.
Oh, where? I don't know. Miller Road or...
Heat gas line antifreeze. It takes just seconds.
2 hours? You've got to be kidding me.
And heat prevents gas line freeze-ups all winter long for quick, easy starts.
Look, it's freezing. Can't you get here sooner?
A good thing to remember before you get stopped cold.
Please, just hurry.
Cold engines start with heat.
Are you still paying the price for something you did in your past? No, not that embarrassing incident at the frat house. I'm talking about all those high-interest student loans you agreed to. Well, we can help. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. Anytime, 24-7. We're College Loan Corporation. We're dedicated to helping you refinance your college loans with interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest rates in nearly 40 years. So tell those old loans to hit the road and call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time for us to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of KeyBank, and we cleared the accident southbound I-25 approaching 20th, so that's getting back to normal. Also, Colfax and Delaware are getting back to normal as well. Watch for a lane shift northbound 225 underneath the 6th Avenue Bridge. That'll jog to the left. Time is money. If your checking account isn't earning interest, you're wasting time. Stop by any KeyBank today for their free checking account with interest. Account early closure fee applies. The solution is Key. Member FDIC. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. After near record highs this afternoon around 71, we'll look for partly cloudy skies and falling temperatures into tonight, all the way down to 32. Partly cloudy skies, maybe a few more clouds late, and then a partly sunny day on Friday with a high only near 55. And it continues to get colder for Saturday, mostly cloudy. Good chance of scattered snow showers, a high of 34. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 66 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and with us is Gary Greenberg. He has written a piece, two pieces actually, that came to my attention in Mother Jones magazine. It's the current Mother Jones, November, December. It should be on the stands, although I got an early copy of it, I think. And I was really intrigued by what he had to say because According to him, new research suggests that the miracles promised by antidepressants may be largely due to the placebo effect. Carrie Greenberg, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi there.
Hi. Tell me how you stumbled on this story, and tell me what you found out.
Let's see. I stumbled on the story because it's always just been an interesting area of interest to me, the placebo effect. And the fellow who did the research that I was focusing on is a local. And so when he did his research, it got a lot of play in the local paper. And that's how I stumbled on it. I stumbled on it over my breakfast one morning.
And where are you locally?
I'm in Connecticut.
You're in Connecticut. Okay. And are you also a psychotherapist?
Yeah.
And a freelance journalist. And you've done two stories that I was interested in. One is about the Boulder based band, and we're here in Denver, so this is just down the pike, String Cheese Incident and what they did with Ticketmaster. But before we go there, I want to talk to you about what did you find out about antidepressants and the placebo effect? Do they work as well? Do placebos, let me ask it this way, do placebos work as well as the antidepressants?
Well, placebos on the whole don't work as well as antidepressants. The significant finding here is that the difference between the placebos and the antidepressants isn't as much as one would like to think, given the size of the industry and the number of people taking pills and the claims that are made for the drugs.
So what are the numbers? Do you have
the easiest way to get a hold of this thing is to look at the studies that are done to validate drugs. The drug companies have to go to the Food and Drug Administration and prove that the drugs are effective. And the way they do that is they compare them with a placebo. And almost every study of depression uses the same scale to measure depression. And the scale is a 53-point scale on which a score of 17 or over is generally considered to indicate depression. The higher your score, the more severe your depression. And so when they do these trials, what they do is they try to find out how much, if at all, your score on the depression scale goes down over the period of the study, which is 8 to 10 weeks. And it turns out that if you take all of the studies that have been done to validate the 6 leading antidepressants, and you just put together the overall difference between drug and placebo, the drugs seem to lower people's score on the depression scale by only about 2 points more than the placebos.
Than the placebos do.
Yeah.
Wow. So here's something that I pulled from your story. What was found has researchers who've investigated antidepressants relatively poor showing against placebos to conclude that millions of people may be spending billions of dollars on medicines that owe their popularity as much to clever marketing as to chemistry, and suffering serious side effects, not to mention becoming dependent on drugs for healing they might be able to do without. So what are some of the side effects of antidepressants?
Well, the most common side effect of these particular antidepressants is sexual dysfunction.
Oh, well, then you can go buy, if you pay for the antidepressant, and then you can buy Viagra to counter the...
would that that were the case. Unfortunately, Viagra solves a different problem. The problem with antidepressants is that they make people's sex drive go away. In some cases, they make it harder for people to achieve orgasm. Viagra, unfortunately, doesn't solve either one of those problems. But yeah, they're working on it. I'm sure they're working on a drug that will give you back your libido after you start taking antidepressants.
What antidepressants are we talking about here in this? Are we talking about Prozac, Zoloft?
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Prozac, Zoloft, Effexor, Paxil. Now you got me because I don't have the list in front of me.
Okay, so that's the category.
But basically, the family of drugs that's known as the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors,
mm-hmm.
the drugs that started showing up around 1988 or so. And if you go to the doctor these days and you're depressed, or they think you're depressed, and they prescribe you an antidepressant, chances are it's going to be one of these 6 drugs or the generic equivalent.
Well, they're doing it, and what are psychiatrists saying? Because in the old days, before these drugs became so popular, if you were depressed, they might send you to a shrink and try to talk it out or work it out. And now they give you a pill, and they probably over-prescribe because your usual MD is not equipped to handle this kind of thing. It's just easier to give you a pill and hope you can make it through with the pill. And so what is psychiatry saying about this?
Well, first of all, I think that most of these drugs are not being prescribed by psychiatrists. Most of these drugs are being prescribed by family docs.
Right.
And family doctors, some of them are very friendly toward the idea of psychotherapy, and others don't, aren't. So that's where a lot of these prescriptions are coming from. Psychiatrists themselves, I think, are as torn now as they were when the drugs first came out about exactly how to use them and in what circumstances and how severe your depression should be before you start with drugs. But I think in general there's a tendency toward more drugs and less therapy.
Okay, so if I have it right, then on the scale that's used to measure depression, the drugs only give you 2 points higher than the placebo does in general.
That's right.
Okay, and what does it cost to take these drugs, and what are the dependencies involved? And this one side effect you talked about was loss of libido, but how dependent do you become on these drugs? In other words, if you were taking them and you wanted to quit, would you have to withdraw gradually rather than to stop abruptly?
Oh yeah, I mean there's a whole science of antidepressant withdrawal.
What would happen if you withdrew abruptly? What happens to
some people just stop taking them and they're fine, you know? But the established medical practice is that you have to be taken off slowly because you can have almost obviously a big rebound in depression. But you know, at the outer end, there are people that experience seizures when they withdraw from these drugs.
Oh.
And there's just a whole host of psychological issues that are involved with trying to get off the drugs, because most people are very anxious about whether or not they're going to be okay when they stop taking them, and that anxiety alone can create trouble.
And also, one other factor that we ought to probably talk about is that in addition to these drugs being prescribed by docs, you also have probably pressure from HMOs who don't want to pay for extended therapy, psychotherapy. And so I imagine that they, you know, the way I've heard some of the system works is you might see a psychiatrist just once in a great while in order to get your prescription refilled.
I think that that's increasingly becoming common. When I have to fill out a treatment report for somebody who's got a diagnosis of depression, the insurance company, which is requiring the treatment report and is going to use it as the way to decide whether to pay for it, ask me to explain to them why this person isn't on drugs if they're not on drugs. So the assumption is that if you've got a diagnosis of depression, you ought to be on drugs. It's considered to be the standard of practice.
I want to say something about depression. I was always a great fan of reading James Hillman, and he talked about the virtue of depression. We want to run as far away from it as possible, but if you can hang on by your fingernails, and I guess I'm not talking about a suicidal kind of depression, but maybe the more garden variety kind, there's a lot to be learned. There's character to be forged. There's wisdom to be gained, and I don't think we ever see that part of how depression can be useful.
Right. Well, happiness, unhappiness has become a pathology. Right?
Well, wasn't it guaranteed, the pursuit of it, wasn't it guaranteed in the Constitution?
Exactly.
And if you don't get it, it's actionable. You could sue.
Well, if you tell me who I can sue, then I will.
Anybody who made you unhappy today, you get to sue them.
Boy, I got a list.
So, my guest is Gary Greenberg, and his piece is in Mother Jones Magazine in the current edition, and it's really well worth reading. And it's all about the miracles promised by antidepressants, but those miracles may in fact be largely due to the placebo effect. That's the pull quote that they're using. In more than half the trials used by the FDA to approve the 6 leading antidepressants, the drugs failed to outperform sugar pills, and where they did, the advantage was slight. How much do these antidepressants cost?
Well, you know, a person might be paying $75 or $80 a month, or their insurance company might be paying that much. Some of them have gone generic, and so they've become a lot cheaper over the last couple of years. Prozac, I believe, is off patent now. But, you know, it's expensive.
We have people. We have callers. Let's go to the phone lines and to Jeff calling from Parker. Hi, Jeff. You're live with Enid and Gary Greenberg.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I'm going to quickly just share my thoughts and experience. It's holistic. I'm not a doctor, but for years I was on antidepressants, and It would be very nice if the medical industry, no matter who gives it to you, a psychiatrist or a family doctor, would tell you the whole story. According to the information I've heard, you're supposed to stay on them for some period of time, and then when you come off of them, they're supposed to potentially help you not to be depressed anymore. It should have helped correct something. I don't know if that's fact or fiction, but I've heard it. And coming off of Effexor was, short of a bloody nightmare. I've never been addicted to anything in my life except perhaps pizza. But coming off of the Effexor was a nightmare. We had to keep splitting the dosage until there was almost nothing left. I was psychologically dependent upon it. It was a nightmare. I know that may not happen to everybody, but it can happen. And
how long, Jeff, did it take you to get off of that drug?
6 months.
And how long ago was that?
About a year and a half ago.
Okay, so you're all right now?
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you.
All right, Gary, what do you say to this?
Well, the first point, the caller's name Jeff?
Yeah, it's Jeff.
The first point,
thanks,
that
Jeff.
Jeff made was really, really interesting. The idea that the drug is supposed to fix the problem, and then once it's fixed, you can stop taking the drug. I think this is a common script that doctors, psychiatrists, and family doctors follow when they prescribe the drugs. And the idea there is that there's a chemical imbalance in your brain, and the drugs will restore you to what would be your normal functioning. And Jeff asked, he said he didn't know if that was fact or fiction. Well, it's fiction. It's fiction that's become fact simply by being repeated. It's not to say that it may not say that someday we'll find out that we may find out someday that this is the truth, that there's a chemical imbalance in the brain, but nobody really knows that now. The only evidence we have of that is that when you take these drugs, in general, many people feel better. And they conclude from that whatever the drugs are doing is correcting some kind of chemical imbalance. But there's an enormous number of scientific and logical steps that have to be made before that becomes actually fact. So right now it's a fiction.
But, you know, you can make the case that if the mind-body connection is as strong as some of us believe, you can make the case that if you're depressed, you're completely out of whack and everything is not working the way it should be, and that when you get yourself into a balance, it will be in balance. You will be everything, you know, whatever the chemical, whatever the receptors, whatever the synapse, who knows what they are in there. That'll be in a more balance. Everybody has days where everything is working beautifully. You're completely lubed and all working parts are moving.
You talk in Colorado, right?
Well, you're working in an unobstructed, everything is moving the way it should. And then there are other days where nothing moves right and you get sad and there's a difference between sadness and depression. Which I don't know if that distinction is widely made. And the idea that you could go to somebody, a doctor, I think it's really reassuring to go to an authority figure and the doctor says, you know, you're going to be fine. And then you think, I'm going to be fine. And then your body's natural healing abilities start to kick in and you're fine.
And that's a good stab at what's really going on with the placebo effect. Because you remember that people who are being given these sugar pills aren't simply being handed a pill. They're being handed a pill by an authority figure who's going to tell them this is going to work. Because
that's right. They don't tell them it's a sugar pill, right?
Well, the scientist doesn't know.
Okay.
The people who are giving the study don't know who's getting placebo and who's getting drugs. So nobody knows which is which. So they all have to behave as if they're giving the pill. And they follow the same script. And it is a very reassuring script. Most people would notice that if they've had a chronic problem, whether it's depression or a backache, when they finally get around to making the call to see the physician, they feel better just by virtue of having made the call.
Right.
And there is great reassurance in that. So I think you're describing what the placebo effect is. Now, to go back to what you were saying earlier about the mind-body connection, in fact, if we give people these drugs and they increase serotonin activity at certain receptors in the brain, and that makes people feel better, that doesn't mean that the original problem was that there wasn't enough serotonin. In fact, the fact that there wasn't enough serotonin may just be a consequence of being unhappy rather than the cause of being unhappy.
Right. That was sort of the point I made, but you made it better.
Yeah.
Okay. My guest is Gary Greenberg. He's written a wonderful story, a piece about this in Mother Jones Magazine, the current edition. As we continue, and I hope you can stay with us, I want to talk about the other piece that you have in Mother Jones Magazine, and that is the Boulder Band String Cheese incident and how they took on Ticketmaster. And what the story was there.
Oh, those rascals.
Oh, those rascals.
Yeah.
Gary Greenberg with us, writing for Mother Jones Magazine. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150, KNRC.
One of America's greatest cities finally has a great talk radio station. AM 1150, KNRC.
Blockbuster gives you a better way to buy the movies you want to own. Right now, all previously viewed DVDs are $9.99 at Blockbuster. That's right, just $9.99. Details at participating stores.
How would you like to spend your next vacation with Brad Paisley, Bill Anderson, Little Jimmy Dickens, and Ricky Skaggs? Come along with the Grand Ole Opry. The Opry Cruise is sailing to Grand Cayman, Cozumel, and other destinations in the Caribbean this January, and you can be aboard, courtesy of Banquet Home Style Banks. Just visit www.countrystars.com for more information. That's www.countrystars.com. Brought to you by America's favorite meal, Banquet Home Style Banks.
The Three Fab Four are monkeying around again. Now you can own the complete second season of this television classic on DVD, remastered in 5.1 digital surround sound, with hours of special features, including the Monkees TV special 33.5 revolutions per monkey, separate commentary tracks by all four Monkees, interviews, classic commercials, and much more. Pick up your complete second season of the Monkees on DVD in stores November 18th.
You know, the thing about winning awards is that you have to say award-winning this and award-winning that. And frankly, it's very tiring for a voice talent like myself.
Where's your Mai Tai, sir?
Thanks. But just in case you didn't know, you can download clips of award-winning news features and guest interviews from our award-winning website, made by an award-winning designer featuring award-winning hosts. Well, it's true. KNRCRadio.com has it all. But if somebody at the station wins a Nobel Prize, I'm out of here.
Hi, I'm Dominic Brascia.
And I'm Bill Thorpe.
Join us weeknights from 6 to 9 here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:24 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. My guest is Gary Greenberg. He is a journalist and he's a psychotherapist, and he has two pieces in the current Mother Jones, and I wanted to talk to him about both. And we've been talking, if you're just joining us, we've been talking about the studies that tell us that antidepressants don't work a whole lot better than placebos. In more than half the trials used by the FDA to prove the six leading antidepressants, the drugs failed to outperform sugar pills, and where they did, the advantage was slight. So I thank you for that, Gary Greenberg. And since you are a therapist, and we have been monitoring the Michael Jackson story, I don't know if you know it, but he surrendered and they took him in handcuffs and they fingerprinted him, and he's bonded out now at about $3 million bond. Any comments you want to make about 45-year-old boys, men having sleepovers with little boys?
Well, I hope nobody's surprised that this has finally come to such a bad place.
I mean, he's just inviting lawsuits, however innocent it might be, if it is innocent.
Yeah.
I mean, it's irresistible for somebody who's a celebrity in a deep pockets not to be the target of a lot of lawsuits. And the report was that in 1993, he settled for somewhere between $14 and $20 million. Any thoughts on this?
The only thing I know about Michael Jackson, at least recently, is the documentary that was played like visual wallpaper on the TV about 6 months ago.
Right.
And he clearly was at that time a disaster waiting to happen. And had he, I think, not been insulated from the world by all of his money and fame, et cetera, I think there would have been trouble a long time ago.
What kind of trouble are you thinking about? Do you think there are a truth to these allegations, or is he just
in such
arrested development that he's? I mean, why is he spending hours on the phone with little boys?
Yeah, I have no idea. I just know that he was sort of alarmingly blithe about the whole business of his relations with these little boys, which could mean either that he's totally innocent and therefore there's no reason for him to behave in any way defensively, or it could mean that he has no grasp of the possible trouble that he could be creating,
or how it's viewed by anybody else,
or exactly how
because he is so insulated. All right, now in the current Mother Jones magazine, the November-December issue on the stands, you also, Gary, have a piece in here about a Boulder band, the String Cheese Incident, and it's just five barefoot mandolin plucking improvisers from Boulder and how they're taking on the most hated corporation in music. Tell us about it.
Well, String Cheese, as I'm sure some of your listeners know, is a fairly successful rock and roll band in the Grateful Dead Fish tradition. And part of that tradition is do-it-yourself, and one of the things they like to do themselves is to sell their own tickets to their own shows. And they've discovered that because Ticketmaster has exclusive rights to deal tickets at most of the venues in the country, largely because most of the venues in the country, in turn, are owned by Clear Channel, they've discovered that they have increasingly been unable to sell tickets to their own shows. And every band runs into this at one point or another, and 99% of them give up. And the one band in recent history that hasn't given up was Pearl Jam. And they,
that's right. They went. They really moved forward. But then didn't they get stymied at a certain point?
Their attempt to get around Ticketmaster was a disaster for them. It turned into a huge fiasco because they tried to just go outside the system completely, and all the apparatus of rock and roll depends on the venues. You can't just put on a show like Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland, you know. You need these arenas.
Now, I don't know if you know this, Gary Greenberg, but we are live and local, and we are locally owned, and our competition is what I like to call the Walmart across the way, which is all this behemoth and wall-to-wall Clear Channel stations in this particular market, and they're all over the place, and they are the largest radio ownership. But in addition to being the largest radio ownership in the country, they own, give us the detail, they own billboard companies, they own...
They're a vertically integrated company that owns just about every kind of entertainment outlet that you can imagine. They own theaters that show that show plays. They own arenas where sports are played. They own stadiums, and they also have a promotion wing which promotes bands, and they have.
And they've come under some scrutiny because if the bands don't go with the Clear Channel venues, then the radio stations, and I think we've seen some examples of it here in Denver, the radio stations threaten not to give those bands any airplay.
Nothing that you would tell me about what Clear Channel does to enforce its monopolies, and they have more than one. Would surprise me. And if anybody's really interested, the thing to do is to buy this month's Harper's Magazine, because there's a very comprehensive article on how Clear Channel Radio really works.
Ooh, we're going to have to get that. Harper's Magazine,
you'll
okay.
You'll have to get the author of that article on your show.
Okay.
To talk about knowledgeably about the Walmart across the world.
Thank you for that. All right, now, so here comes an intrepid band, String Cheese Incident, five barefoot mandolin plucking improvisers from Boulder, and now where are they with taking on Ticketmaster? Is Ticketmaster, did you say, itself owned by Clear Channel?
No.
All right.
Ticketmaster is owned by Barry Diller's, in whatever they're calling it now. When I wrote the article, it was called Interactive Corp, but it changes its name a lot.
Okay.
There must be money to be made in flipping these companies. So, where are they at? Well, what happened is that I have to give a little background in order for this to make sense. When bands sell their own tickets to their own shows, what they're really doing is selling tickets that are specially set aside for bands to use however they want. Some bands give them away. Some bands, you know, use them to take care of their friends. And some bands sell their own tickets. Well, Ticketmaster noticed that this was going on, and that where some bands were taking 3 or 4% of the seats, bands like String Cheese were taking 50% of the seats and selling them. And Ticketmaster makes its money by selling tickets. They make their money on the service charges. And if they aren't selling a lot of tickets, they're not collecting a lot of service charges, they're not making money. So they went to the venues and they said, look, you have an exclusive arrangement with us. You said we could sell all your tickets, and you're giving 50% of your tickets to String Cheese Incident to sell. You can't do that anymore. If you continue to do this, you're in breach of contract. And so, all of a sudden, String Cheese couldn't get any tickets.
What?
And, in fact, they found in some cases the tickets that they'd already sold were declared invalid.
What percentage does a company like Ticketmaster take of the ticket price?
They don't take any percentage.
A flat charge?
Well, if you ever buy your tickets from Ticketmaster,
mm-hmm.
you find that they'll charge you a convenience fee.
Convenient for whom?
Yeah, exactly. It's convenient for them.
Uh-huh.
On top of that, there's the facility service fee, and then there's the mailing fees. And in the end, these fees tend to amount to about 50% of the ticket price.
50%?
Yeah.
So if you're buying, now Simon and Garfunkel were recently here, and the top price was something like $250 for a ticket. What would it have cost somebody to get their ticket presumably through Ticketmaster?
That all depends on what the promoter worked out with Ticketmaster. There's no set fee. So I doubt it was 50% because the face value of the tickets was so high. But I can tell you that with string cheese shows, which generally run in the $20 to $30 range for tickets. If you go on the web and you buy tickets from String Cheese Ticketing, which is their own web-based ticketing service, and I did this as research, the same tickets that you get from String Cheese would cost $265, whereas from Ticketmaster they would cost $365.
Oh my goodness!
And these are tickets whose face value was probably about $220. So the string cheese ticket service charges were about $45, and the Ticketmaster service charges were $145.
Wow.
And
but what chance does a little band have against Ticketmaster? Because Ticketmaster sort of has a monopoly.
Well, this is an interesting question. I mean, this now gets to the question of who's in the Department of Justice right now. I mean, String Cheese's lawyers, was a big Philadelphia law firm, believe that they have a pretty good case here, that it's not so much that they aren't entitled to have a monopoly, it's that they're using their monopoly they're abusing their monopoly. In other words, there might be a reason to have a monopoly in the ticketing business. There might be some rationale for that, but even if that's true, you can't use it to exclude somebody else who's offering more or less the same service.
Or to crush your opponents.
What's that?
To crush your opponents.
Yeah, or to crush your opponents.
Well, that's the octopus is what that is. That's the railroads.
Exactly. And that's why the antitrust laws were passed in the first place.
Yes.
We happen to have an administration right now that isn't terribly worried about antitrust problems. And is glad to let monopolies, seems to be glad to let monopolies flourish. So whether or not, given the state of the judiciary, whether or not they're really going to win is anybody's guess.
When does this come to trial, and how is it at this point? Because we only just have a couple of seconds left here. When are we going to find out about String Cheese, and how can we support them?
Well, you go to their website, and they'll keep you up to date. I think it's just stringcheeseincident.com.
Okay.
And they're in pre-trial negotiations right now. They're trying to work out a schedule.
According to your report, they filed an antitrust suit in federal court.
Yes.
Okay, and so their attorneys are working it out. I hope they have really good attorneys.
They do have really good
and
attorneys.
And this could be a landmark case because Pearl Jam had attorneys too, and it didn't work out in their favor.
Well, Pearl Jam didn't have its own ticketing company. String Cheese does.
Okay.
So they have a much better chance.
Wow. Well, I hope you'll be doing more on the story.
Yeah, well, I might be.
We'll try to follow it. And Gary Greenberg, thank you so much for joining us today. We found out a lot about placebos versus antidepressants, and we found out a lot about Clear Channel and trust issues, antitrust issues, and String Cheese Incident. Thank you so much for joining us.
Glad I could help.
I am too. Thanks, Gary.
Right,
bye. Bye. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 2:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Partly cloudy, 67 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Kohl's. An early morning fire at the Highline Meadows apartment complex near Broadway in Arapahoe damaged two of the units at the complex. Heavy smoke filled the rest of the complex. No injuries, but two residents of the complex were displaced. A man wanted in a 2002 Denver bank robbery has finally been captured. Gregory Saunders is one of the most wanted men in Colorado. He was arrested yesterday after police received tips that he was hiding out at the home of a relative. Pop star Michael Jackson surrendered to authorities in Santa Barbara, California today and has posted bond. Jackson's surrender comes more than 24 hours after a warrant was issued for his arrest on multiple counts of child molestation. Jackson's attorney, Mark Aragos, says allegations against his client are a big lie. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche play host to the New York Rangers tonight. The Avs are coming off their overtime win over the Mighty Ducks on Tuesday. The big one, Kohl's biggest one-day sale of the year, is this Saturday only from 6 a.m. to midnight. With great early bird specials from 6 a.m. to noon only, Kohl's Give Happy, Get Happy. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:37.
If you haven't heard the big news about dieting, listen closely. The experts are now saying that low-carb diet plans do work. But if the thought of eating nothing but meat sounds scary to you, continue to listen closely, because the next 30 seconds could change your life. Introducing UltraCarb. UltraCarb is the original carb-blocking, fat-burning supplement guaranteed to help you lose up to 20 pounds in the next month without exhausting workouts or life-changing diets. With UltraCarb, you can continue to eat the foods you love, pasta, pizza, and bread, and still lose weight. After blocking the carbs, UltraCarb works with your body's natural fat-burning mechanism to rid your body of unwanted pounds. Imagine looking in the mirror a month from now and seeing the thinner, happier you. And because UltraCarb is 100% guaranteed to work, you have nothing to lose except unwanted pounds. Call now to find out how you can receive a one-month supply free with your order.
Call now, 1-800-451-6432. That's 1-800-451-6432. Lose unwanted pounds 100% safe and guaranteed. 1-800-451-6432.
KNRC News Time is 2:38. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of AT&T Wireless. Got an accident, Colfax and Mariposa. Also got an object on the roadway southbound 225 right before Colfax. Got a piece of plywood there, so watch for that. That could be a real problem. Might flatten a tire or two. When quality matters, reach out on the wireless service America trusts, AT&T Wireless. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC Traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. After near record highs this afternoon around 71, we'll look for partly cloudy skies and falling temperatures into tonight, all the way down to 32. Partly cloudy skies, maybe a few more clouds late, and then a partly sunny day on Friday with a high only near 55. And it continues to get colder for Saturday, mostly cloudy. Good chance of scattered snow showers, a high of 34. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 67 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:39. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
This is Wally Prue of the Prue Law Firm. If you've been injured, you should speak with a lawyer about your rights and find out whether you have a claim against the person who caused your injury. Not every accident is someone's fault, but many accidents are caused by negligence. Your claim is worth looking into. Let the Prue Law Firm help you deal with insurance companies about your medical bills, lost income, and getting a reasonable settlement for your injury. If necessary, we'll go to court with you. The Prue Law Firm handles many kinds of accidents, like car accidents, wrongful death, slips and falls, dangerous products, medical malpractice, and other types of civil litigation. An initial consultation with the Prue Law Firm is absolutely free. I'm Wally Prue, and I will speak with you personally and honestly about your case. If you're looking for a lawyer who will personally work on your case and not see you just as a potential fee, please call me, Wally Prue, at the Prue Law Firm, LLC, 303-893-8331. Again, that's the Prue Law Firm, 303-893-8331.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's major averages closed lower after a choppy session, and it was choppy in the wake of two new terrorist bombings in Turkey. Reports also show the index of leading economic indicators rising more than expected, and weekly jobless claims dropping by 15,000. The Dow Industrials fell 71 points to 96.19. The Nasdaq lost 18 points to 1882. The S&P 500 slid 9 points to 1,034. Big board volume was about 1.3 billion shares. Decliners beat advancers by a roughly 5-3 margin. Just out a few minutes ago, Disney's quarterly profits more than doubled and beat estimates. Disney credits in part strength at its movie studio and TV networks. Hewlett-Packard was the Dow's biggest percentage drag, sliding nearly 3%. HP has topped quarterly profit and revenue estimates, but some analysts are concerned about Hewlett-Packard's profit margins and competition. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
2:42 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours just for about 15 minutes more till 3 o'clock. And then Kayla takes over. And let me just review what we've been talking about. If you are just joining us, we've been monitoring the Michael Jackson situation. He has been booked, photographed, fingerprinted. He's been bonded out, $3 million bond. He had to surrender his passport. His attorney is Mark Garagos, who has defended Winona Ryder, Gary Condit, now presently defending Scott Peterson in the murder of Lacey Peterson. Apparently, Garagos has been retained by Michael Jackson since March, so it's not just a brand new thing. He briefly spoke to reporters. Jackson, when he came off the plane, and when we saw him going into the police facility, he was handcuffed. And Garagos came out after to talk to the press. He took no questions, and essentially he said, these are a bunch of lies, and Michael has been bonded out. So that's really all we know. The brother, Jermaine Jackson, is defending his brother Michael. He tells CNN that his brother is innocent of child molestation accusations, and he and his family support Michael 100%. At one point, in his live rant in a telephone interview, Jermaine Jackson said he was sick and expletive tired of people accusing his brother. He denounced the media reports of the scandal, calling the police and media handling a modern-day lynching. Well, welcome to Clarence Thomas Land. So that is that's what we know so far, and apparently his family spokesperson will be on with Larry King Live tonight to try to spin it in the right way. And what Fox is reporting, Fox News is reporting, is that the mother of the boy who's alleging the sexual molestation, that when the Jackson people told her that they were cutting financial ties, apparently the Jackson was supporting her in some way financially, that's when she decided to run to an attorney. So that's the way they're going to spin it, that the mother was weird and was looking for a financial payday. So that's, we've been talking quite a lot about that. We began the show with Tom Mesnick, who's a CU Denver student, and he writes for The Advocate, which is the CU Denver publication. He wrote a wonderful piece about me, and he's down in Miami, and he's at the FTAA, Free Trade Area of the Americas. There are huge protests going on. I saw a lot of footage on CNN, and we were able to bring you what's going on live. And if you're just joining us, you missed psychotherapist and freelance journalist Gary Greenberg, who's talking about antidepressants and how they don't really work very much better than placebos for most people, and talking about the Boulder bass band String Cheese incident taking on Ticketmaster, and also the monopoly that we're dealing with in terms of Clear Channel. They have many of the venues. If you're an artist and you don't sign with Clear Channel on a venue, then they kind of threaten not to give you any airplay. So they are really a piece of work, Clear Channel. I want to remind you that this Sunday, and I will be there, this is Jack Kerouac. If you're a fan of Jack Kerouac and his poetry, his writing, gather at 2:30 Sunday for readings of the Beat Writer's poetry and prose by Tom, Dr. Colorado Noel. Dennis Gallagher is the city auditor. In the offices of Lodo Pioneers, Jack and Dana Crawford, and you have to make reservations. There's going to be wine and food and music and poetry and fine company, and that's at 303-892-1888, and I'm going to be there also. Meanwhile, lots of things that we haven't had a chance to get to because there's been so much going on. We've been talking about Iraq. I forgot to let you know that producer Phil Spector has been charged with murder. He's the 60s recording wizard who created what was always called the Wall of Sound. He's been charged today with murder in the shooting death of a woman at his home last February. She was 40. He was 63. She was a kind of a B-movie actress and model. She was found dead in the foyer of his Alhambra mansion. He has been free on $1 million bail. Oh, he must not be as important to Michael Jackson because Michael Jackson's free on $3 million bail. So anyway, he's being charged with murder. One of the things that we haven't had a chance to really talk about is John Hinckley, the man who tried to assassinate President Reagan. He is trying to persuade a federal judge to allow him unsupervised visits to his parents. That would be visiting his parents without being accompanied by staff from the psychiatric hospital where he has lived for more than 2 decades. You know what I think? And he has asked the U.S. District Judge to let him leave unescorted from the hospital in Washington to travel 3 hours away to the Virginia area to see his parents 10 times. 5 of the trips would be overnight visits. He's 48 years old. You know what? He's lucky that he's not in the pokey. So I think he ought to forget about unsupervised visits. And I hope Jodie Foster doesn't live anywhere between Washington and Virginia, because I don't think it's a great idea. One psychiatrist says, oh, he's cured, and another psychiatrist says, oh, he's really not cured. And Ronald Reagan Jr., the son of President Reagan, said in an interview on Good Morning America that the assassin now wants a free pass. He says maybe if John Hinckley isn't insane anymore, he needs to go to prison, and there he can reflect for a while on what he did, said the former president's son. Hinckley sought similar privileges 3 years ago, but the judge in that case canceled the hearing after prosecutors said that he had a continued interest in violently themed books and music. Well, what would that be exactly? Is that a Roman Polanski film? I mean, that could be anything. Until under a 1999 federal ruling, Hinckley has been able to take supervised day trips off the hospital grounds. The Secret Service, which is responsible for the security of current and former presidents, is notified whenever Hinckley leaves St. Elizabeth's. So they know when he's taking a supervised day trip. And now he wants to be able to travel 3 hours to see his parents 10 times. 5 of the trips would be overnight visits. You want to comment on that? I think no is the answer to that one. 303-382-1150. Try to assess. Look what he did to Brady, James Brady, the press secretary, in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. And John Hinckley gets unsupervised visits to his parents? Forget about it. I don't think so. If he's now not insane, maybe it's time to retry him. I know, the law won't let us, but we can bloviate on it if we want to. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. What do you think about John Hinckley? I don't know. I just think it's hands down. It's a no-brainer. Forget about it. And the Democrats have decided to go on the warpath against this AARP endorsement and over the Medicare package, the drug benefit for Medicare. And here's a big ad. This is a full-page New York Times ad. The proposed prescription drug Medicare bill is not perfect. This is an ad that the AARP is running, but millions of Americans can't afford to wait for perfect. Tell Congress to pass it now. I don't know. Is it better to give people on Medicare a little something, those who are needy, but really kind of screwed up for a lot of other people, or should you wait to get a better deal? It's a hard question, but one that needs to be asked. The Democrats are not going to be in favor of it. 303-382-1150, they're going to fight hard against it. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150, KNRC.
KNRC morning band Greg Dobbs was Mr. Establishment at Berkeley back in the 60s. What happened? Find out morning 6 till 10, exclusively on AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
The CSO, the Colorado Symphony Chorus, and the CSO French Horn section, all in one performance. Join the CSO this weekend in a performance of Mozart, Schumann, and Rossini. That's this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, November 21st through 23rd. Tickets available at all King Supers, Tickets West outlets, and online at coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
Here at Airborne Command Headquarters, we get hundreds of letters, some worthy of Chaucer, some not. But one thing they all agree on, they all love Airborne, the wonderful product created by a school teacher who was sick of catching colds in class. Now, what kind of kook writes in to praise a product, you ask? Hey, man, we're talking Airborne, the effervescent health formula that you drop in water and it tastes great. Airborne is a miracle cold remedy, writes Julie Wendt. Finally, a cure for the common cold, says Alec McMurdo. Do these sound like kooks to you? Of course not. So take Airborne. It's really good. Yeah.
Hi, this is Victoria Knight McDowell. I'm a second grade teacher, and I developed the dietary supplement Airborne because I was sick of catching colds in class. When you feel that first cold symptom, won't you please give Airborne a try? Thank you.
Find Airborne Natural Cold Remedy at Walgreens, Rite Aid, CVS, Long's, Brooks, Duane Reade, and Trader Joe's. Ask for Airborne, baby.
Being tough is her job, and she does it well. She is the enforcer.
Hanging up, you're grounded. That means no phone.
Come on, it was only weed. I only did it once.
She doesn't love being tough. She's tough because she loves the enforcer.
When I say no weed, I mean no weed.
She's more than a hero. She's
a good mom.
Parents, the anti-drug. For information on how to keep your kids away from marijuana, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Shalom Denver has been serving the Denver business community since 1955 in the areas of mailing services, assembly, and packaging. Shalom provides employment, training, and job placement opportunities to people with disabilities, resettled immigrants, and people moving from welfare to work. If your business needs help with mailing services, packaging, or assembly work, contact Shalom Denver at 303-623-0251 or go online to www.shalomdenver.com.
Using a programmable thermostat can save you up to $75 a year. Visit the Home Energy Analyzer tool at excelenergy.com for more energy-saving tips.
AM 1150, KNRC is proud to continue a Denver broadcast tradition. The State of Colorado, produced in conjunction with the Denver Press Club and Rocky Mountain Reflections. The State of Colorado is where Greg Dobbs hosts a panel of Denver journalists discussing the major stories of the week every Friday morning from 8 to 9:30. It's the most in-depth analysis and perspective on Denver radio. The State of Colorado is brought to you in part by Denver Center Attractions and International Optique. Friday mornings at 8 on AM 1150, KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:54 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and then Doug Kellett takes over from 3 to 6. Dominic and Billy from 6 to 9, although Dominic has been out with back surgery. He's feeling good, though, from what we are hearing, and doing very well. We talked a lot about Iraq also. I failed to remind you. And we've talked about whether a guy who is an assistant city attorney should be suspended for 2 weeks without pay because he forwarded jokes that were sort of tasteless on the system in the city. I think that's too harsh a sanction myself. I mean, we all get those tasteless jokes on email, and you just forward them on to your friends, and they might be tasteless, but sometimes they're pretty funny. And the question about Michael Jackson, we've been monitoring him. He has surrendered to his love. He's bonded out on $3 million bond. They handcuffed him. You know, he's been booked and fingerprinted and so on and so on. The question is this going to be the final nail in his coffin for his career, or is all this publicity going to actually reactivate a more moribund career? But people have said that his record sales, since that 1993 deal where he settled with that kid for reportedly between $14 and $20 million, wow, his record sales have been lower and lower and lower with each succeeding album, and radio's not even playing his new single. Someone said this could be the nail in the coffin. What do you think? Nail in the coffin, yes or no? 303-382-1150. It's among the top 10, I guess, the new CD in the UK. And also we're talking about John Hinckley, whether he should be getting unsupervised visits to his parents' home, which is 3 hours from Washington. I say no. What do you say? Adam, calling from Englewood. Hi, you're live with Enid.
I'm surprised, Enid, that John Hinckley has lasted this long, but if they let him outside, he wouldn't last an hour. He'd be dead on the streets by an accident.
You know what? I never thought about that.
And not from some outraged citizen either. You know who, he's from Colorado, and his father was in the energy business, and you know who his father, one of his best chummy closest friends, is.
George Bush Sr.
George Bush Sr.
So what do you think would happen to,
Spymaster, one-time vice president, a guy who never thought he had a chance to be the president of his own right? Ooh, I don't know.
I don't know. What do you think?
It's a great conspiracy theory, isn't it?
Very juicy. Do you think he deserves to get an unsupervised visit?
This guy's been, I know he hasn't been busting rocks or anything, but he's been locked up for over 20 years. That's a long time for attempted murder.
Yeah, but look what he did to James Brady. James Brady will be locked up in that body for the rest of his natural life.
I know. But
and his life could very well be...
There are guys walking around on the street who did less time who actually killed people.
Well, all right, let's...
Not that I think what he did was a good thing, by any stretch. Right. But, you know, really.
And also the Reagan family was saying because of that surgery that Ronald Reagan had to have, that somehow that hastened the onset of Alzheimer's, or that not enough blood was getting the brain, you know, something along those lines.
Yeah, and there's an old saying that if my aunt had certain parts, she'd be my uncle.
Thank you, Adam.
Bye.
303-382-1150. Okay, the country's in crisis. Yes, the United States of America is in crisis. No, it has nothing to do with Iraq, although we're definitely in crisis there. It turns out the U.S. bread makers are holding hot crisis talks because the Atkins diet has taken over so thoroughly that people are not eating bread anymore, or they're not eating as much bread anymore. It's a growing craze for high-protein, low-carb, slimming diets like the Atkins diet. It's threatening the market for one of the staples of the West, and that is bread. I just thought I would share this with you because a lot of people are into high protein, low carbs. And I mentioned this the other day, and I'm happy to know that the FTC has finally awakened itself, and they are going to investigate. Kentucky Fried Chicken is running all these ads about what a health food Kentucky Fried Chicken is and how few calories it has. Well, what they don't tell you is they only have fewer calories if you strip off that crispy skin, which is the only reason anybody eats Kentucky Fried Chicken. Those chickies are really a delivery system for salt and fat. Think about that. You can hardly, you don't care about those chickies, but you care about the salty, fatty part of it. Well, can fried chicken actually be called a health food is the question. The FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, for one, is skeptical. Oh, really? The agency is investigating recent TV commercials from Kentucky Fried Chicken that implied its products could help consumers eat more healthfully and losing weight. And according to my producer, KFC is pulling those ads, but not before they actually ran for a period of time. According to people familiar with the matter, the FTC sent a civil subpoena asking the chain to explain and justify the health claims in the ads. You just want to believe that KFC is actually a form of health food if you're a KFC fan, right? If you're addicted. Now, Rush, who used to be addicted to OxyContin, maybe he'll become addicted to things like KFC, which would be a little bit more healthy for him. What do you think? I mean, he may gain weight with, you know, well, we'll see what happens there. I'll bring you the news as it occurs. Thank you, Joe Anderson, for your fine job today. Thank you, Jordan Lyles, for yours too. Thanks to everybody who called and listened. Let's do it again tomorrow. It's a fabulous Friday. I want to alert you at State of Colorado tomorrow morning on Greg Dobbs from 6 to 10. 10 to noon, Bill O'Reilly. Noon to 3, Enid Live on KNRC. 3 to 6, Doug Kellett. 6 to 9, Dominic and Billy. Do something generous, will you? And try to leave the world a better place than you found it. And I'll see you tomorrow, noon to 3, right here. I'm Enid Goldstein. Have a great evening.
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Inglewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon, partly cloudy, 68 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Bank One. Authorities are investigating a pre-dawn fire at a Centennial apartment complex. Captain Randy Glanville of Littleton Fire and Rescue says they responded to a blaze just before 3 this morning at the Highline Meadows apartment complex near Broadway and Arapahoe.
Units first arrived on scene saw light smoke and some fire in the third floor. Attack was made, and the fire was confined to basically two units.
Heavy smoke filled the rest of the complex, but Glanville says that only two people were displaced. They were the single occupants of each of the two burned apartments. Holiday weekends usually mean lengthy airport security lines, and that situation could go from bad to worse at DIA on Thanksgiving weekend because of a shortage of security personnel. That's why the Transportation Security Administration is hoping you'll take their travel tips very seriously. Spokesman Mike Fearberg says the key to an expedited trip through security begins before you reach the airport.
Check your bags before you pack them. Sometimes people leave things in their bags from previous